participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
There you go. We're ready today.
Look at this.
Everybody's ready. Look at all of us with the microphone.
Here, have a can of beer.
48 hours of nonstop fun.
Yeah. Let's kick off the weekend.
On the phone.
Yeah. It's called Jomo. He's excited.
He's got a.
Well?
Hey, you got to give us your catchphrase.
The weekend is here. Let's have a can of beer.
Do it a little more like you.
Weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
There it is.
Much better.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is,
there he goes, every Friday.
Joey Ardinger. Mm-hmm. Weekend's here.
See, he didn't give it his all, though. I can't imagine him not putting forth 100%.
Have a can of beer.
Weekend's here. Have a
it's
can of beer.
Just that kind of day.
You're goddamn right. Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
It's time to kick off that.
Come on.
Your cares away.
Welcome to our Friday show.
Yep.
Heart wheels and piggybacks.
Here we go.
It's just that kind of day.
Yeah, everybody's here. Don and Mike and Buzz.
Tell me, old Mr. Blue.
Robbie and Joe.
Tell me no more.
This is funny.
Alan.
Put on your happy shoes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Pennies on the floor all day watching Alan dive.
When I awoke, all my cares went.
All those crazy stations that play Working for the Weekend and bang on the drum all day.
Yeah.
We got this.
Heard this song.
Yeah.
Don't cry, don't fret, don't fry.
Let's have a pick.
You'll only bruise your heart.
Hey, where's my sweater?
The sun's a circus clown.
Okay.
The moon's a
let's see.
I'm taking off my shoes.
Yeah, the whistling segment.
And you remember,
that's
head side to side, head bopping side to side.
And that's where we jump in. This is where we jump in and say, I think today will be a good day for you.
I'm sitting on a hill.
Sure.
Yeah, watching clouds and play.
We're actually playing this song.
I always will.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that kind of day.
Oh, just that kind of
right.
Goddamn day.
Today when I awoke.
The new Main Street Singers.
When do they shut up?
They don't.
And why should they?
It's got to end sometime.
Careful what you wish for.
Hey, is there a chance that we could hear that chorus again?
Let's give ourselves a break.
Oh, you're sentimental, Mike.
I know I am. Feeling that way today.
The world's a birthday cake.
Oh, shut up!
It's just that kind of day.
Just that kind of day.
You dumb guy.
Hand me that fishing pole.
Stupid, wholesome.
It's just that kind of
garbage tail.
You look good in a straw hat.
Get bent.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey now.
There you go.
That was smooth.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Here you go. Here come the Friday guys.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
I didn't like those last singers at all.
Actually, these are the everyday guys.
Hello.
They're here every day, Julia.
It's the true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Hey, that was a naturally occurring mistake.
You know how you can tell it's Friday?
How?
They're wearing Hawaiian print brown shirts.
Oh, my God.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Watermelon Picado. Ships at sea, and now to celebrate the seasons of a man's life.
Oh, yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike. Whoa!
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Hello, and hi, everybody. Thank you. Hi, thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Friday. Friday, 05-14-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. And yes, it's May 15th, 20-04. Call us from May 14th. 14. May 14th. May 14th.
You said it yourself. May 1-4.
Mm-hmm. May 14th.
Right.
20-04. Call us at 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America.
Call us
from Canada.
Pick up the phone.
From Canada, it's 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM 202-432-1067.
Have a laugh and a smile. It's the Don and Mike Show. We'll put you in the book because we think you're vile.
Come on, call the show. Try and be real nice.
We'll pat you on the back and hose you down with lice.
I don't know. that was weak.
Well, I left you hanging.
That's
there.
Friday.
I left you hanging with the.
What are you going to do with?
You know what?
Knife.
Why you hanging me? Mm-hmm. Why you hanging me? It's like, I don't think that's the way Lennon and McCartney wrote songs. I don't think Paul.
I think it is.
I don't think Paul went, welcome to the show today. Mm-hmm. We know you're gonna call, but if we had our druthers, we'd push you down 10 stories until you fall. I mean, it doesn't work like that.
No, call the show and have some fun, but if it does go south,
don't be surprised if we start beating your mouth.
We would not be lyricists.
I don't think that's how yesterday.
No,
all my troubles seem so far away.
Now this is over here to stay. I mean, that's poetry.
You should have heard the first version.
hey, listen, if I could just have a second to tell you the continuing saga of my crazy wife.
Your crazy wife who's out of town, correct?
She's on a brief retreat.
Uh-huh.
She has gone down south, they'd say, uh-huh, to a meditation.
Loony bin.
I wish it was, Rob.
Loony bin.
A meditation. This is what women like free to do. They go to a meditation retreat for a couple of days where there's no television, where you meet and you discuss your feelings.
That's insane.
So but she's there, and I'm here, so I'm fine with it. Go ahead. You know, because on the home front, things are great. I love her. She's got her adventures.
Right.
My kid's back. I'm off his ass because he's got a job. He's working. I couldn't be prouder of him.
Mm-hmm.
Love doing the show. Everything's great. Just won the battle with my wife about the car. So she calls me up this morning, mm-hmm, from this place. And she says, hi, how are you? I said, I'm doing great. How about you? And she said, oh, I love you so much. I said, oh, I love you too. She said, you know, it's really enlightening. And I'm going to condense what she said to me. She said, to be down here, to get in touch with my feelings,
uh-huh,
to lay in this bed and imagine what it might be like to be an old woman. And I'm looking back at our lives, and I'm thinking how much I love you and how much I love Bart. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, this is, you know, she's like having a come-to-Jesus moment.
Right.
Yeah. Telling me. She said, and I realize how much I love our life, and I realize that we should just live every moment to the fullest. And
wow, that retreat's doing good.
I'm really getting a lot out of this down here, and wow, I love you so much, and you know, we should really just do what makes us happy, which is why I've been thinking about it a lot, and I know what you think, but I really think I should get that car.
Oh, no!
I swear to God!
Wow, after all that. So that's what happens on a higher plane.
I swear to God that's what she said.
I mean, with all the deep thinking issues of the world and contemplating life and the meaning of life, and she gets back to that car.
Because how dare I yesterday say that she couldn't have that car. So that's what's happening.
Wow.
With my crazy wife.
Wow.
Joe, would you come in for a second, please?
Joe Ardinger. He is excited about his trip.
Yep, we're sending Joe this weekend to NASCAR, Richmond, Saturday night, racing under the lights.
Mm-hmm. That's from what I know of my friends that are into NASCAR, they say it's very cool. The racing under the lights, very cool.
It's the best, and we're going to send them out
for... It's time for another edition of Joe Mose. Joe Ardinger, man on the street.
What are we enjoying, Joe? You seem to be chewing.
Barbecue chicken.
Oh. What else could it be?
Can't beat it.
We made it yourself, right?
Right.
Yep.
Have a can of beer.
And don't forget to bring, it's Friday, the big treat day to bring him a barbecue.
So, Joe has actual NASCAR credentials,
yeah,
and we'll be able to get in and allegedly...
Hello, I'm a correspondent.
...interview some drivers and stuff. But what we really want him to do is to do the man on the street interview.
Yeah.
Now, it's very important when you do this weekend, and we'll hear these on Monday, it's very important you read these as written.
As a matter of fact, when you read the questions, could I request that Joe reads them cold? Because I'd like to hear them coming out of his mouth.
Sure.
Yep. We've got, let me see.
I have a copy for you.
1, 2, 3, 4,
I got the
5, email. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We have over 20 questions.
20 questions. That'll be a long interview, especially if you get somebody hot.
Mm-hmm. But I'll be there all day, so I've got plenty of time. And
very good.
Obviously, it's not like people are rushing back and forth.
So let's practice now. Let's practice. Just see you read these questions that you'll be asking NASCAR fans tomorrow night.
Question number one.
Hello, I'm Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR on CBS. May I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast?
Good. Do it just like that. Then you continue.
What is your name and where are you from?
Okay.
What brings you to NASCAR on this fine evening?
Okay.
Ain't these cars fast?
Okay, next.
Who is your favorite driver?
And then pause, no matter what they say. Let's say Jeff Gordon.
Isn't he the dead one?
All right, then here's the next question.
Do you like that gay driver?
And then you say again, Dale Earnhardt?
And what was his name again?
All right, and now you understand, Joe. What's your favorite driver? Pause for reply, no matter what they say. Isn't he the dead one?
Right.
And then it's, do you like the gay driver? And even if they don't say anything, just say, what's his name again?
Okay, what's his name again?
Here's the next one. And this is, you know, Rob and I write these about 50-50. This one's mine. I think this is a great one. Now, it may be too wordy.
Okay.
For the average NASCAR fan to figure out. You don't think so?
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I love the dynamics on this one.
It is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
There you go.
I'm going to bet we get like 2150.
Right.
The year 2275.
What does that have to do with anything? No.
And Mike, the next question, Rob wrote for you.
Okay, very good.
How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight's race?
I have to take a second. Mike, here I was busting your balls about the cicadas.
You sure were, Don.
And yesterday I believe that you came back to the other side, the reality side, saying that there's nothing to the big...
It's a hoax.
Mm-hmm. I have three people, not people, dogs, but I treat them like people.
Right. Think.
Three people in my house.
Yes.
My dogs, who are absolutely cicada crazy.
They're going out of their minds?
Yep. All they do is bark at the front door,
mm-hmm.
and then they want to go outside and dig for them.
Oh, really?
Wow. They love eating them.
Yeah. Oh, digging for them, huh?
I hear you. They're not supposed to eat too many. You should limit how many they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what am I gonna do? They're dogs.
Yeah. Didn't you have a neighbor say that to you?
Yeah, but then I saw a guy on TV say they're not bad. They eat as many as you want. And besides, think about it. Dogs eat anything. I've seen
I would think that a dog, like a human being, if he ate too much, he'd throw up.
Yeah, quantity is the issue.
I've seen those dogs eat what comes out of their fellow dogs.
Yes,
so,
very nasty.
I don't think that their taste sensations are incredibly sophisticated.
But I've read that dogs consider the cicada a delicacy. It's a real treat.
My dogs love them. And
right.
I almost called you today at one time when the three of them were yelping like it's a UPS guy.
So they're getting them before they come out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And here was the deal. One of the little dogs saw one of the bushes move.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a bird or anything.
Right.
But they immediately, with their dog brains,
cicada.
That's what wait till Frida gets back.
Oh, cicada.
A little damage.
Wait till she gets back. We just got done mulching and doing all the stuff that you do in the spring, and the dogs went out today and dug like five major holes.
Looking for dessert.
And they love eating them.
Wow.
Oh, they love. So, Mike, gosh, at least my dogs are into it with you.
And, you know, with all my talk about the cicadas out where I live, I have not seen any evidence of cicadas yet.
I took pictures today. I didn't get them printed up in a large enough format for us to see to bring them in, but I will on Monday.
And I can attest to the fact that they do have beady red eyes, like...
Oh, the red eyes are their trademark.
Just like radio general managers.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bob Hope. Yesterday, one flew into Carrie's head. It was great.
Yeah, they fly at the head.
They do.
Yeah. They're getting your hair.
There's a ball.
And they're slow moving, too.
Yeah. And
for bugs.
Yeah, because they're so big, they can't control it.
That's why all the birds get them.
There's, in the front yard of my house, you know, I don't know if my dogs are eating the bugs or if they're eating the shells that they leave behind.
I don't know. Your house is more than 17 years old, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's why you got them.
And there seems to be a large pie. It almost looks like wrappers. It almost looks like you've been out there having McDonald's.
Oh, I thought they were freestyling.
Oh, no. Yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. My name is Max.
I fly around and I hit a head.
I got an artificial hip.
When a dog eats me, then that's when I know I'm dead. I'm a cicada with my big red eye.
Joe, next question that you'll be asking NASCAR fans tomorrow night.
Who do you think will win Survivor?
That's my favorite kind right there.
Here's one that we're bringing back.
What were your feelings when you first heard about the death of James Garner?
Joe Moles.
Here's a great one.
In your opinion, what is an acceptable... Wait a minute. In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event?
You're playing that card again.
Of course. Right. Keep going.
Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart?
All right. Keep going.
Have you seen the nude pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet? What say you? In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War? It has been said that Dale Sr. died because God needed a driver. Where do you think God needs to be driven to? How many teeth are in the average human head? How many teeth are in your head?
That's good.
There's three more questions.
Since I am a Vietnam veteran, would you like to thank me for my service to our country?
That's good.
Hold on. This is what Rob wrote this one. This is a great, before you clean up the radio thing, this is a great last question.
Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powders? I just bought some today.
And finally, as always,
aren't you glad the FCC has cleaned up radio?
There it is.
Go, Joe.
All right. Oh, that's going to be festive.
Joe, don't screw it up.
Don't get hurt.
No, we'll have fun.
Don't screw it up.
And you're excited about going to the race, aren't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I'll be down there all day.
Who's your favorite driver?
Junior.
Junior?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Who's your favorite driver, Don?
Good reason. Tony Stewart. You can ask me why.
Why?
I don't know.
I like Kyle Petty, too.
He's a good driver. No, I like Tony Stewart because he's a Richard Cheney. He really is. He, like, cuts guys off, and he...
aggressive.
And he bumps into guys, and he gives guys the finger.
I like Jimmie Johnson.
Jimmie Johnson, which one? The TV one or the driver one?
I like the driver one because he always seems to get in a wreck.
And what about you, Buzz? Who's your... Let's see if Buzz can... not counting Dale Jr.
Name one that hasn't been named.
Jeff Gordon or Tony Stewart. Can you name a NASCAR driver?
Did somebody say Kyle Petty?
Yep.
Okay. Then no, I don't have one.
Ben-Hur?
How about Matt Kenseth?
Hold on.
Okay.
Did you hear Joe's joke?
What did he say?
He said Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur.
Hey. Oh, I got a period.
Hey, Joe, wait.
I'll kick your ass, too.
Darn fine.
That's pretty good.
Get in line. Buzz is going to kill everyone this week.
I just hear you say you're going to kick Joe's ass,
yes,
too.
That's right.
He's not going to kill anybody. He's going to beat you guys in line.
Sign him up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I'm on 95 South headed to the NASCAR race this weekend. I was... wonder if they have any more of those questions they want to try on me.
Are you going to make a weekend of it?
Yes, I am. I'm traveling in a conversion van when I'm sleeping in that for the weekend.
Hey, Joe, come on in here.
I have heard Richmond, nope. Joe, seriously, I have heard from my buddies that go to those things, that uh-huh. Richmond is without question one of the biggest parties of the year on the circuit. So I've been told.
There you go.
I've only been to Richmond and Dover, and Richmond is just awesome. Dover's no comparison. But I just have to say that as I'm in all this traffic, I can tell my fellow... shirtless, tattooed men in pickup trucks. I can just see them all. We're
You're
all
a fellow
in.
Shirtless.
Are you
shirtless?
I'm not. I considered it, but I'm not.
You consider. I'll consider it again. It's on Friday. What the heck?
All right, Joe, why don't you try your skills on this lady?
Hello, I'm Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR on CBS. May I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast?
Sure.
What is your name and where are you from?
My name is Patty Jenko. I'm from Harford County, Maryland.
What brings you to NASCAR on this fine evening?
Camaraderie, and I'm a Jeff Gordon fan. I know that's another one of your questions.
Ain't these cars fast?
Sure are.
Who is your favorite driver?
Jeff Gordon.
Isn't he the dead one?
No.
Do you like that gay driver? What was his name again?
Oh, you gotta pause a little bit after, don't you like that gay driver? Did we write down pause?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you had said before that I could move right into the other question.
Right, it's a good thing you're practicing again.
Just a little pause.
Because we're smarter than we look.
Hush.
This is a great dress rehearsal.
Do you like that gay driver?
Yes, I do.
What was his name again?
Michael Waltrip.
Oh. It is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
2052.
Hey, now, right.
Something to look forward to.
Let's draw our conclusions at the end of this.
Yes, absolutely. We don't know whether that's her politics or if she's just making a comment like you were about the, you know, asking the question.
Well, move on, Joe.
How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight's race?
Oh, I think they're going to really get stuck in the engines.
Who do you think will win on Survivor?
Oh, it's still a tough one.
You have to answer, honey.
Who do I think is going to win? Oh, I just can't decide.
Pick one.
Rupert.
Rupert.
What were your feelings when you first heard about the death of James Garner?
I was devastated.
In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event?
7%?
Percent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart?
Yeah, I think he has learned a few tips from him.
Very good.
Have you seen the nude pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet? What say you?
No, and I've been searching for him.
In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War?
Is the war over yet?
It has been said that Dale Sr. died because God needed a driver. Where do you think God needs to be driven to?
I don't know.
How many teeth are in the average human head?
32.
How many teeth are in your head?
I am proud to say 32.
Oh, isn't that great?
Since I am...
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Since I am a Vietnam veteran, would you like to thank me for my service to our country?
Is that verbally, or how would you like me to thank you?
Hey,
Hoochie mama.
But then there's that laugh.
And you know, it would be like making out with a pack of Camel cigarettes.
Yeah, are you a smoker, ma'am?
No. Oh. But I do have all my teeth.
Yeah, you just got all the teeth.
There you
That's
go.
A good sign.
Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powders?
I haven't had any experience with them.
Really? Aren't you glad the FCC has cleaned up radio?
No, I'm not really.
All right, she was a pretty good example. Now, keep in mind, she was able to hear the questions, but I do think we got some insight.
Mm-hmm.
The year that she thinks an African American will win a next car race, I believe, was 40 some years in the future.
Yeah, and then she said 7% for the other
7% for
that.
Minorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on, what, Robbie?
While we're coaching Joe, no character voices.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Straight and stick to the script.
And shouldn't Joe have one more? Shouldn't Joe have a button question?
Well,
shouldn't the button be do you think I have pretty eyes? You know, something that's really, because I would think in NASCAR, you know, some sort of, I don't believe there's a homosexual question on that entire survey.
Jeff
Gordon is talking about nude pictures.
And another thing about who's the gay driver.
Okay, well, right? Maybe I just want more.
Well, we will be doing a gay bit today.
How do you feel about the FCC crackdown on radio then? Do you find me attractive?
You can't with that, Joe. Yeah, make Mike. Come on. Yeah.
Would you mind?
Be a part of the team,
well,
Mike.
I'm not
sure.
Just going to interview guys, though.
I know.
Well, that's why.
You get Joe.
That's
Joe.
Why. Funny, Joe.
Men and women.
Joe,
you're thinking. Come on now.
All right. No.
All right. Probably conversion van.
Write that one down, Joe.
I was really expecting some more redneck questions.
Hey, you know, why don't we give it a trial run? Why don't you ask her that question, Joe?
Which one?
The last one.
The last one.
Pretty eyes?
Yeah.
No, do you find me attractive?
Do you find me attractive?
Turn around.
He did turn around.
You know, there's a question here of who's smarter, the woman on the phone. You know, I'm wondering if she's playing along.
Right, she is playing along a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. But then there's some answers that are just, who knows.
And then she tells Joe to turn around. Joe actually turns around.
Yeah, both of these crazy kids are really getting ready for just a weekend of beer.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thanks.
All right, see you. Bye-bye. Have fun in your conversion van.
Bye-bye. Hope you bought some condoms. God knows you're going to need them this weekend.
In the conversion van.
Come on. I'll convert you. Come to my conversion van.
Man, this van smells like a flower shop.
Oh. I'd love to go. I'd love to go. But yeah, just, I, you know, I went to Daytona, mm-hmm. and everybody when I went to the Daytona 500 was telling me, this is like the Super Bowl mm-hmm. of NASCAR.
Right.
Saying, you know, that for a fancy lad like me, that's about as down and dirty as I want to get, because at Daytona, the luxury, I mean, I know they have luxury boxes everywhere.
Right.
But the people that I met down there said,
sure.
you know, you go to Darlington, you go to Richmond, you go to
Richmond's, I think, the thing about Richmond that I heard also, short track, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Small track, so lots of bumping.
If you want to save the trip and also hang around a fine class of people, head to the infield at the Preakness this weekend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you want to talk about a spew-a-thon.
Yes. Here's the only thing.
Pimlico puke-a-thon.
Yes. Here's the only thing that's bad about the Pimlico. And a shout-out to Baltimore, Live 105. Everybody in Baltimore goes and gets drunk tomorrow. The only good thing about that is when it's pouring rain. And I know people hate it because it ruins the horse race.
Right.
But it makes the 5 hours that you watch on Baltimore TV
sure.
so much better, because they get these the old luggage-faced anchor ladies like Sally Thorner.
Thorner!
For Channel 2. She'll be sitting out there at Pimlico, and they all have the big Easter bonnets. They're pretending it's the Kentucky Derby in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's basically not the Kentucky Derby. It's, you know, they're much more infield. I guess there's infield activity at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, but in Baltimore, what it really is, and it's a great thing about Baltimore, it's just, unlike the Kentucky Derby, everybody just shows up to get wasted. And, oh, yeah. There's horses later.
Yeah, the horse race. Well, I think any of those horse races, anybody that goes, but the Kentucky Derby has a lot more tradition. But by and large, all those horse races, but it's just a party thumb.
Pimlico is only good, at least from my perspective, when it is pouring rain, when there's mud everywhere.
You remember the jingle for Pimlico? Yeah, I'm sure you ran it when you worked at WPGC.
What? Refresh my memory.
Hi-ho, Pimlico.
Yes, I do. But when it gets soupy down there, and, yeah. and they've got the reporters going, well, you know, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
People are here early for the race. There's so many race fans. It's a reason to be proud about Baltimore. And there's 20 guys all holding cans of beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
The memory I have of the Preakness is one year I had a party at when I lived in Laurel, Maryland at the Willow Lake apartment complex.
Congratulations, Mike.
I had a party on Preakness night.
That's where you beat the clap.
And it wasn't for the Preakness, but I had one. And it was, you know, just a normal party. Come on over about 8 o'clock. And I just remember a bunch of boozy people stumbling into my apartment with jester hats on, because that's the big thing. You wear goofy hats at the Preakness. You know, love that. You know, wear the goofy hats.
I went to the Preakness once. I think it was like 8 years ago. And to get to the infield, you have to go under a tunnel.
You go through a tunnel. That's right.
And in the track, I saw a guy in handcuffs puking. That was.
But isn't that standard welcome to Baltimore, no matter where you go in Baltimore?
It is usually
with William Donald Schaefer.
The weather that we have is usually like it is right now, where it's, you know, it's very, very hot and humid. You get people that are out there all day.
All day.
And the priority is not to really cover up from the sun. The priority is, where do I put the cooler?
Right. It starts, and post time is 6:15.
Yes.
So they're ready for bed by the time the race
comes. Yeah, right. So tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and like I said, I like it better with the rain, but rain or shine, turn on Baltimore News, because they cover it like it's a news event.
I think you have a chance. I think you have a chance for your weather to, you know, late in the day, especially
always.
Like 6 o'clock on Saturday
this
evening.
This time of year.
So, yeah,
Martin absolutely. Will be there?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Martin Bass.
Martin Bass will be all over that.
Oh, I'm so glad to be out here. Let me tell you something right now. It's looking sloppy in the infield.
And hello, all the way from outer space. This is Lance Bass, formerly of NSYNC.
I'm so sorry you're in that space capsule, but you'd love the Preakness this year, Lance.
Say, is Sally Thorner wearing her gigantic Easter bonnet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Sally Thorner's having some face work done. They're going to shave a little off and make handbags out of it.
Say, I was watching on TV and I can't figure out, was that Smarty Jones or Denise Koch I just saw on television?
Denise Koch, I remember her. Oh, my God. And wasn't she always trying to add just a little bit of class?
Is she the
one of those anchors that was, you know, raised in some prep school somewhere? Who the hell knows?
Still to come on Channel 11. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm Denise Koch. Oh, yes, we are, Marty.
Unlike, oh, God, it's becoming, really, I know we don't do the same show we did, but I can say that it's becoming a sensual experience for me to watch Lisa Joyner on KCBS in Los Angeles.
Well, you are as hung up with her as you have been for
with any TV. The last person that you were this hung up with was Deanna Troi.
I'm telling you, that on this station in Los Angeles, they got the big, dumb anchor guy that looks like the guy on The Simpsons.
Right.
They got a girl with a unibrow that's sitting next to him. They got a Hispanic girl with very, 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 very ample. Ample. And then you've got, the little dynamo. And she doesn't even dress like she's on TV. Today she had a T-shirt. She's on the CBS station in Los Angeles, yes, doing the weather.
Hey, does the Fox News Channel have a Los Angeles-based crew that does kind of a mid-morning show?
No. Are you talking about Good Day Live with Julianne Barbary?
Yes, Good Day Live.
That's not on Fox News. That's just on Fox.
Did you see Anna Nicole Smith on Good Day Live?
No, but I saw
Anna Nicole Smith, who has done a very nice job with her trim spa.
Yes.
But methinks there's something else at work in Anna Nicole, because...
Oh, yeah.
She might have been super skinny, but she still had the...
Let me tell you right now, you gotta know what's...
And she's on, you know, morning television in L.A. Yeah.
I saw Ellen DeGeneres' show this morning before I left the house, because I say because Paula Abdul was going to be on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're going to discuss what happened with LaToya London.
Mm-hmm.
And Paula Abdul came out, and she sits down, and she still seems wasted.
Yeah, wasted, whacked out.
Even on the Ellen show, Ellen says, so what do you think about what happened?
America has to know that you have to vote for your favorite.
I mean, it's not quite Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, Anna Nicole Abdul. I really think Anna Nicole Smith was whacked when she was on this show the other day.
Listen, I am happily married. I love my wife. If Jennifer Aniston walked in this... Thank you, Rob. Jennifer Aniston walked in the studio today. All right, maybe I'd leave my wife if Jennifer Aniston would have me. But that's it. This Lisa Joyner, she is nothing but a passing fantasy. But I want to tell you, this morning on Channel 2 in Los Angeles, she has on... They keep it just on a news station.
Yes.
She has on, like, a Lucky Brand jeans and little... She's showing...
And it moves you into the land of the Asian hottie now. It really does, because technically, being a Filipino, she is the land of the Asian hottie. And welcome to something Buzz and I have known for years.
But she's more round-eyed than your average Asian.
That's what it took.
She has almost a Polynesian look about her.
Well, that's exactly right.
There you go. Sure. She had some saying on her shirt that was like, you know... whatever it was.
You don't remember the words.
You made your own saying up there.
It was the saying that you wished was on the shirt for you.
Boy, oh boy, is she... Her name is Lisa Joyner.
You wanted her to have an Amber shirt, but you'd be Rob.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted. I love Don.
Her name is Amber. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and here's how dumb I am. I'm watching this. I got to be the only guy on the East Coast that is watching the California, Los Angeles news at 5 o'clock in the morning, L.A. time, waiting for her to come on. And she says something. They finally go to her. Well, let's find out about this traffic and what about the weather Friday, Lisa? And they got and it's a full shot of her. It's a stand-up, and she goes, well, good morning, everybody. And if you're watching on satellite, and I think, uh-oh, here it comes.
Uh-huh.
And she says, if you're watching on satellite, oh, there's going to be a bunch of snow up in the Dakota.
Oh, you were waiting for the high, Donnie?
I would say, if you're waiting.
D-O-N-I.
If you're watching on satellite and you're a sick, sick, perverted man, Buzz, you think you're going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah,
watching this girl on TV. Mike, here's a question. I got a game for Christmas. One of these dumb games, it's called Would You Rather? It's a card game.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It's a card game, and you're supposed to move the pieces around the board.
Right.
It's one of those things you sit down with people, and you start to play, and it's fun, but then there's so many rules, and you got to, you know, you jump backwards if you get one wrong.
But the questions are, would you rather this or that?
Yeah, and there's some that I'm just going to pepper you with some of these today. Mike?
Do I get to answer these?
No, the first one is as a woman. So let's see, as a woman. Oh, do we have a woman on the phone.
All right.
Let's see. Hey, Jennifer?
Yes?
Hi, listen, going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
From this game, would you rather? Jennifer, would you rather, as a woman, breastfeed a 70-year-old man or a chimpanzee?
Both are gross.
That's what makes that game great, right?
This is good. Now, all of them on this game are not as good. Like, on every card, there's four so-so questions, but one killer question, which is why I've decided...
Well, I'm waiting for the answer, Don.
I'm guessing... It's the 70-year-old man is good looking.
Yeah.
I guess him.
Okay. You always risk that chance of biting if it's a chimp.
Yeah. Right, Mike?
Yes.
for $1 million.
All right.
Would you have all of your fingers pulled back and broken one by one, or have the pinky finger of your non-dominant hand chopped off?
I'd have the fingers broken.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they'll heal.
I understand.
I'll be whole again.
Let's see.
Think how much it would hurt.
After a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Guys, yes. Guys, I live with pain. All right.
Let me see. Buzz Burbank.
Pain is your friend.
Buzz?
Yes.
Would you rather have jock itch for the rest of your life or athlete's foot for the rest of your life?
Oh, well, definitely athlete's foot.
Definitely athlete's foot?
That's easy. I'd pick that one, too.
I don't mind the itching, but I don't like the burning.
Yeah. All right,
I've had my fingers broken. I couldn't scratch.
I'll take this one. Would you rather...
Hold on a second.
Would you rather have to catch a razor-edged frisbee thrown from 30 yards or try to high jump a 4 foot, 6 inch high razor sharp tension wire? So would you rather catch a frisbee with razors on the end of it thrown from 30 yards or try to high jump a 4 foot, 6 inch high razor sharp tension wire? I'd go for the frisbee.
Oh, I'd go for the frisbee.
Same
too.
Here. Yeah.
I mean, the obvious, results of one disaster would be death.
Robbie. Yeah. Let me find a good one for Robbie. Would you rather have a painless disease that disfigures your face greatly or extremely painful disease that's internal?
Well, that's so easy. I'll take the disfigurement.
The disfigurement.
I might even trade up.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about you.
Thank you.
Okay, Rob?
Yes.
Would you rather have to be gored to death by a bull or squeezed to death by an anaconda?
I think I'd take the bull.
You would take the bull.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, there's a lot.
No, give me one more. Give me one more.
Very subjective, obviously.
Mike, would you rather have a sixth finger or a third nipple?
Third nipple. Well, we've seen guys with third nipples. It's not that big a deal.
Right, yeah.
Buzz, yes. Would you rather be the shortest boy in the fourth grade or the tallest boy in the fourth grade?
The tallest.
That's a weird one. That's not
it
really
is.
A...
Yeah, I may have been the shortest.
Let me give you another one. Buzz, would you rather live next door to an insane asylum or walk within 100 feet of a street gang, hang out on your work the way every on your way to work every day? Would you rather live next door to an insane asylum or have to walk within 100 feet of a gang on your way to work every day?
It's easy for me. I'd live near the asylum.
Sure.
It'd be entertaining.
Here you go. I'll take this one. Would you rather chew shards of broken glass or sit on a lighted barbecue grill? I'd sit on the grill.
So would I.
Sit on the grill every time.
I'd chew the glass.
Rob.
Yes.
In a huge storm. Oh, hold on. That's not you.
Sit on a grill.
That's not you. That's not you.
Hideous disfigured.
You know, there's so many of these that are just not you.
I know, I'm complicated.
Rob. God. Oh, Rob, would you rather lay in a coffin with a corpse for an hour or be handed organs briefly at an autopsy with no gloves on?
I think I'd take the organs.
You would take the organs?
It would depend on the corpse. If it was Rosemary Clooney.
Anyway, you know, this is one of those games.
Rob got extra and Buzz got extra, and I didn't get enough. I want my last question.
All right, Mike.
Come on. You know, I love these games more than those guys do.
All right, Mike.
Yeah. You just cheated us. It wasn't fair.
All right, Mike. Would you rather have to fight off a grizzly bear with a machete? Or
a machete.
A machete, excuse me, with a machete. Or with a shotgun with only one shell?
Oh, God, that is extraordinarily difficult. I'm going to say I'd want the machete. Grizzly bear can kill you. I want the shotgun.
Only one shot, though.
And I'll try to get it. Only like it, at least it'll give me time to run.
Mm-hmm. Only one shot.
Thanks for giving me the extra. Now it's happy day because I got the extra question.
Hey, everybody, we're done with the first segment.
It's time to keep going back.
I hope you don't mind. We're going to be using this as our new In and Out music. You know, we're trying to look for something that fits with the new friendly FCC show that we're doing.
This suits it. You know, really, this is up with people right here.
So I tell you what. You stay right there, friend. We've got prizes to give away. We've got comedy bits that we're going to perform today.
Really? And thank you for listening, dumbass.
We'll be taking your incredibly infuriating telephone calls.
We sure will, Don. We sure will.
And then later on, when Buzz does the news,
yes,
you'll be calling in and telling us the same stories that Buzz is telling us. But hey,
don't cry, don't fret, don't fret.
Don't worry, my friend.
Yeah.
And when we come back, there's so many current events I want to talk about, including. Hey, now here's a good thought before we go to break. Thank you, Whistlers. Remember the other day that I was so preoccupied with Olive Osment?
Yes, absolutely. Passed away. She regretfully has left us.
Both Olive Osment and Alan King,
yes,
croaked on the same day. And we had a debate about which person was more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, major news about Olive Osment.
Really?
Yes. She continues to entertain even though she's dead.
Ooh, that sounds scary.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, I'm a girl when it comes to music. I'm a big faggot. I wouldn't rejoin with the Osmonds unless it was a story about the Osmonds.
Very good.
Okay, I mean, I will play Na Na Hey Hey by Steam today because it's my favorite record of all time and I play
it
every day.
You've played this before, though, for no reason.
No, I haven't.
You've never played this?
Uh-uh. I don't go there. I don't go Osmonds, Bobby Sherman, Partridge Family as a rejoiner.
Haven't you rejoined with Wild Horses once?
Rob, didn't we have this discussion yesterday? It's Crazy Horses.
Crazy Horses, forgive
and
me.
And Crazy Horses is an Osmonds novelty song.
Oh, well.
You've never played... Well, you've played
One Bad Apple.
Yeah, but we've played snippets of it, but never...
In other contexts.
When you're coming out of the stop set...
Which is the rejoiner.
The bumper music, that's when you're telling people you're back. And
you've never used that.
And even I don't want the people to know, this is how I know the Don of My Shoes. It's One Bad Apple.
Yeah!
One Bad Apple by the...
Woo!
However... I do have to...
Oh, God.
You know what, Rob? You know what you are? What do you call one of those people?
Genius?
An enabler? No. An instigator?
Buzz has it. You know what? You are my enabler.
No way.
I would not have thought to cue up Yo-Yo.
I have never called Rob your enabler. Ever.
You always call Rob my enabler.
He ought to have it stenciled on him.
In many ways. Anyway, listen, here's the deal with the Osmonds. I was all broken up because I like that Olive Osmond. I like her so bad. You know, that Osmond mom I like so bad.
That's right. You liked her real bad.
So anyway, there was laughter, you know, Olive Osmond is dead. And
I was serious.
Yeah. I was serious about it. Mike was serious about Alan King. And now, there's rumors, and it's more than just internet crap, that somebody wants a picture of the dead Olive Osmond. They want a picture of her in a casket with all of the Osmond boys and girls around it. And the price that they're asking for this photo, they don't have it yet,
uh-huh,
but they want it. They've offered up $30,000. A bounty hunter.
Is this a bounty hunter that, like, works for the tabloids?
And Mike, no, this story comes, we got it from the, from our Salt Lake City station.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from Associated Press. You might have heard of
them. They want it?
No. They're reporting it, and CNN is reporting it. The person who's putting up the money, they are behind the scenes. They are not letting their identity be known at this time.
And so I guess if their identity is unknown, then also their motive would be unknown.
But that person could be working for a tabloid or maybe some website.
Let me see. They want the Osmond brothers. Cops and fans contacted the Osmonds, of course, in Branson. Where else would they be?
Yeah, well, that's where their theater is.
To tell them that a lot of websites have posted offers of money for, quoting now, a photograph of Mrs. Osmond with the children around the coffin mourning, and she must be in the coffin.
So in other words, they've got to get a shot of her, of the corpse.
Yes, but not only of the corpse. It's got to be with Donnie and Marie and Jay and Merrill and all of the rest of them.
What I don't understand is, like, if they don't get a candid of it, I mean,
here's
if it
thing.
Didn't really happen.
There were photos taken. The Osmond family had photos taken.
Oh. That's creepy.
The Osmond family had photos. What do you think the guys...
I mean, of all the functions where cameras are really normally not normal, it's a...
Awesome.
You know, it's a wake.
Have you ever been to a wake or a viewing?
I've never been to a wake. I'm Irish Catholic. I've been to a million wakes.
But have you ever been to a wake or a viewing where they do take pictures?
No.
I've seen it once, and it's just, it's too creepy to me.
No, the ones that I went to as a kid growing up when I had all these relatives, these older relatives, I don't ever remember seeing that.
Make a great Christmas card.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised the Osmonds were into it, so it's not like there's a guy out there, and incidentally, it's not me, but it's not like there's a guy out there that just said, hey, you know what I'd like in a fantasy world would be a picture of her in the coffin with all the kids around there?
Weird.
It's only because the picture's already been taken.
And the guy just, okay, so that he's aware that the picture is floating around.
They had a picture taken of the open coffin and all of the kids.
Well, it sounds to me it's probably just tabloid stuff where he thinks he can get, he'll pay 30 grand and he thinks he can get 50 grand.
Right, so anyway, you know, Olive Osmond, just more proof why she's more important than Alan King, Mike.
Yeah, well...
Do you hear anybody talking about they need a photo of Alan King?
No, and I think it's sad that they don't, you know, that Inside the Comedy Mind is not being put at the same level as Olive Osmond.
And Mike, listen, there's all these dumb celebrity stories. Another one that I heard is, and that I do believe, you know, there are the ones that you read in the tabloids that you think... And it's crap and it's made up. And then they're the ones. Now, Mike has trained me enough to know that if the quotes are a friend says
yes.
... then they're probably making it up, and it's still good to read.
Well, I'll give an example. You did believe the one yesterday when you were talking about American Idol when Simon was allegedly talking to Randy, and the quote that was given from the unnamed source or the manager you got that right, dog. I mean, something that it was to me that was taken right off the television set.
All right, now here's one out of the newspaper.
Okay, the television set,
newspaper,
the TV set.
Demi Moore is upset because she and Ashton Kutcher took dirty pictures of each other.
Okay.
The pictures were on a laptop, and this dummy Ashton Kutcher went to his other dummy friend's house, Adam Goldberg. Is that the guy from American Pie? Adam Goldberg.
This guy, I think he was in a few episodes of Friends. He does a lot of supporting work. You'd know him if you saw him.
Anyway, they went to this guy's house. They left the computer there. They left the laptop there. Somebody broke in to this guy's house and stole the laptop. And now Demi Moore has had to go to the police because they're filing the report to say, yeah, my laptop was there. And, oh, yeah, incidentally, if you could find it.
There's some compromising pictures on there.
Now, I have to throw this. Here's the only reason I even bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I thought the whole thing with them getting married was something for Punk.
Yeah. Right. You thought it was a big hoax that they were going to do to Punk everybody.
This also reeks to me of something of the show Punk.
I think that when I hear this, and I think about your theory, it lends a little credibility.
They're really going to be so stupid that they take naked pictures of each other, put them on the laptop, and then bring them to this guy's house?
Yeah, and leave them.
And then just hold on to our laptop. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense.
I mean, no, I know that whenever Frieda and I have taken the nude exotic photos of ourselves and put them on the laptop to go to a friend's house.
Right.
We always bring the laptop
home. Always remember, you know. Now,
I keep hoping you'll forget.
You'll show the friends the pictures when you're there, but you take that laptop home.
We always do. Listen, hold on. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I have to bring this up. You know, it's Friday, and it's the day that we've got to get all the stuff done because today's show is jam-packed.
It's Friday, and we all know what that means.
I want to call my brother here, if you'll give me a second. My brother is sweet and nice and wonderful, and I love him, and you know that. And he's nice enough once, twice, three, four times a year. He lives in Wisconsin. He lives close to Green Bay, and you know the Packers are my favorite team.
Right.
So what he does is he buys me a box of Packers junk, and it's junk that nobody but someone like me would like. I mean,
I remember when he got you the flag.
Windsock.
The windsock, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't a flag. It was a windsock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
The box arrived yesterday, and along with...
Rob, are you a Stepford wife? Okay, I'm just wondering.
Along with the new license plate holder for my car.
Oh, good.
And the coffee mugs, and the Packers Monopoly.
Do you ever throw in socks, or is that your wife that gives you socks?
No, the wife gives me the socks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was...
And before four or five little items, there was something that I found disturbing that I couldn't put in the dashboard of my car.
Really?
It is a bobblehead Packers helmet, as you can see.
Okay.
It's one of these things like it's got a suction cup on the bottom of it. Yeah. You would put this thing on your car, and it bounces around. Now, here's the thing. It's got the little Packers helmet, so I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Take a look at the face. Take a look at the face inside the football helmet. I think that what they're going for here is a football player who's screaming, I'm
going to...
But instead, it looks like a guy who's having a check for prostate cancer, and it's not at his request.
I see. He does not look happy at all.
He doesn't look...
He looks in pain more than angry.
Yeah, and I'm thinking as I'm debating if I'm going to put this in my car. Okay, because I already know it's a retard move, but I'm a retard.
Well, it might not, you know, on your car, it might look nice on the dashboard.
No,
out there.
No, there's no way it would. So I'm looking.
You can't see the face if you're looking at it from a distance.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What if I face it so that the face is facing me?
Uh-huh. Will it freak you out a little bit?
This is the face. I mean, I'm not doing a good job of describing the face. I don't see why there's
a
face.
It's a frowning, scowling, like...
I've got it.
Dummy face.
Yeah, mount it so that it faces the passenger and intimidates them.
Or mount it so that it faces forward and nobody sees the face.
Can I just get one of these that doesn't have a face?
It really does look like it's out to steal your soul.
It is. It's evil.
It's an evil-looking look. And it's a dumb little item.
I think you're overreacting to it, though. I would put it in your car. You're going to break your brother's heart.
The helmet is about as big as those helmets that you used to get when you would pay a quarter at the grocery
right.
store.
Do you think he went through that thought process when he was picking up that little bauble for you? Do you think he said, get in! Looks like the plastic head inside the helmet is frowning a little bit. I don't think I'm going to buy this for Don.
Hold on. Let me call him up. Hold on.
Does it look like any particular Packer?
No. No.
Forrest Gregg.
Forrest Gregg on chemo. I mean, it's got no hair.
Well, it's very ghost-like also, because it's like an all-white
anyways,
face.
You know, I like, you like the fact that it's all white.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
It was a windsock.
Your mind sometimes amazes me.
You're not going to pick up?
Where's Jimmy?
Jimmy? Hello?
Oh, it's his
crazy machine. It's his crazy machine. Hey, Jimmy, it's your brother. I was just calling about... Thank you for the latest box of Packer stuff that you sent me. I even like the Band-Aids. That was...
you got Packer Band-Aids.
Send me a box of Green Bay Packer Band-Aids.
That rocks.
But I can't figure out what this thing is. The guy with the helmet?
The evil bobblehead. Now you've broken it.
No, here you go, Mike. See, you can put the face mask right back on the helmet.
There you go.
Good as new. Good as new.
You know, he's not wearing the helmet properly. You know what I mean? His head is too big for the helmet.
And I've tried to move it. Uh-huh. It's glued onto the top of his little head.
So that the helmet and head are one item.
Can you help me describe this thing? I mean, it's a head on a spring with a little football helmet on it.
Exactly. A helmet with a head inside mounted on a spring. The neck is kind of a spring, and then it's got that self-adhesive pad on the bottom.
You know what the face looks like? If anybody's ever been to the Haunted Mansion and they've seen the little ghosts that are...
Mike, that's exactly it.
That's what it looks like.
Horrified, sort of.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right, Jim, thank you anyway. Talk to you over the weekend, and keep trying to get that photo of the dead Osmond lady. Good job on that.
I'm not going to know what that means.
Talk to you later. I know, but you know what's great about him? It won't really matter.
What's my brother doing?
It won't really matter. Oh, Mike, hold on. A sex alert. Sex alert.
Oh, I like me the sex alerts.
Now.
Sex alert.
Now, and everybody's seen the picture of Jimmy Kimmel, right? That Jimmy Kimmel had a reaction, an allergic reaction the other night on TV. He's saying it was to Advil.
Right. Uh-huh.
But while he was doing his show, and it's too bad it wasn't when the Tron guy was on, but he was doing a show, and all of a sudden he got a reaction, and his face popped up, puffed up.
I didn't even know this.
And his eyes turned into little slits.
Ooh, he got all puffy.
And he stayed on the air with it, so good for him. Okay. The other thing, the sexy star.
Yes.
Who said this, Mike? I'm going to give you some choices.
Okay.
Because I was surprised by some of the quotes I read in, what is it, FHM magazine?
All right.
Okay. Your choices are either Anne Heche, Angelina Jolie, Pink, or Alanis Morissette.
Man, they're great. They all have that reputation for saying things that are whacked.
I did briefly explore lesbianism. I never had any intention of having a woman as my lifelong partner, although stranger things have happened. I was open-minded to it. Fortunately and unfortunately, I discovered I'm hetero.
There are moments when I wish it wasn't the case, but for the most part, I feel comfortable about it. Now, who said that? Was that Anne Heche, Angelina Jolie, Alanis Morissette, or Pink?
Angelina Jolie.
No. Buzz.
I would say Alanis Morissette, then.
Yeah, that's correct. And are you ready for more on Alanis Morissette?
Yeah.
She also says...
She's the one that wore the suit up in Canada, right?
She first got it.
Right. The naked suit?
Mm-hmm. First got it when she was 14. When she was 14, she was doing it with guys that are 30. She says, and I'm going to quote her now, "I need to date older men." Mike, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
"Otherwise, I feel incompatible. When I dated a 17-year-old when I was 17, I felt like I was their mom. I always felt like I was older than I was. Other girls were playing with dolls. I was making records." Dirty Alanis, and that's what they're calling her now. Mm. Dirty Alanis also says that she saw a lot of perverted situations when she was a young girl.
Alanis O'Mara. Nice ring.
She said that she thinks back now and she thinks, I can't describe the things, because, yeah. You know, but there are things that she did when she was 14 that she's thinking now she maybe shouldn't have done.
Oh, well, that's
she
not,
did,
that's
she
not
did
good.
A lot of, she did a lot of crazy stuff.
That's not good.
And the guy that she's going out with now, if you've seen Van Wilder, have you seen this guy, Ryan Reynolds?
No.
The guy that's in the movie? That is the first man that Alanis Morissette has ever lived with.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that she does kinkier things to him than she's ever done to any other man.
If my daughters turn 14, if they bring someone over the age of 16 to the house, mm-hmm. that person will end up in the trunk of my car.
And remember, if you have any thoughts that Alanis Morissette is not nuts, remember that she dated Dave Coulier in secret.
That's right. That's that song. You ought to know. That's what that song
you
is.
You ought to know.
That song is written about. Jessica Simpson has a TV show on ABC. She's getting a sitcom.
It's called Cleavage.
Can you guess what her character's name is going to be on her new TV show?
Cleavage?
Come on, really guess now.
Barbie.
Jessica Sampson.
To avoid confusion.
Yeah, it'll make it easier for her to deliver the dialogue.
For her to remember.
Right. Jessica Sampson.
Right, right, right. Oh, God.
So, wait. This is Sans Nick?
Oh, no, he's going to be on there.
Of course.
He's going to be. He's always there.
Of course he is.
He's always there. The Letterman show tonight is the show that he taped at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
This
yes.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the David Letterman website and found the guests for tonight's show. Music guest is a band called Modest Mouse. Mm-hmm. And because of the late night that they taped the show, 4 a.m.,
right.
The only guest that they could get last night for David Letterman was a rat expert. So if you're thinking about watching...
Well, you brought this up the other day, and I've seen the promo since you brought it up. What the hell is the point? What are they doing? Well, do you think... You're the biggest Letterman fan here.
All I can say is that I think some of his funniest shows, some of his best shows, are ones where he doesn't have any named guests, when they're focusing on just doing the show and not having a celebrity on like Leno.
Yeah, but his crazy hook, though, is that it's 4 o'clock in the morning and he's goofy tired.
Well, remember he did that show Upside Down once. It's always stuff like that.
Well, the Upside Down show,
right.
I dug.
Mm-hmm.
And the Upside Down show, the one where they had the camera slowly... During the entire show.
Going upside down.
Turning upside down. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. If it's 4 a.m. and it's live, I'm intrigued.
But it's 4 a.m.
Like if he actually put it on at 4 a.m. and they made it, you know, everybody out, especially on a Friday night going into Saturday morning, you do it live and it's like, hey, you know, let's stay up and see what this is all about.
Yeah. What he did was he did the show this morning at 4 a.m. and you'll see it tonight at 11:30.
Yeah, but the staff was really thrilled with that.
Hold on. A couple more things. I just have to mention this, Mike. You were kidding about Jasmine Trias on American Idol saying that I think you said, well, if everybody in Hawaii votes for her.
I said they must have gotten quite a turnout.
Okay. Are you ready for this? Verizon. And that's one of the companies that's involved in American Idol.
Right.
And they are also Hawaii's main phone service provider.
Okay.
There are 1.2 million people who live in all of the islands of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 2 hours to vote after the show is off. 5 million people from Hawaii attempted to call. 1.3 million calls from Hawaii alone got through.
Incredible.
Let me break this down for you. So there's 1.2 million people who live in Hawaii, mm-hmm. in all of the islands. New Jersey has 8.6 million people. a fewer number of people calling from New Jersey got through to vote on American Idol than called from Hawaii.
So you know what that is, too?
That is the Hawaiian factor that we had been downplaying.
But it's the Hawaiian factor prompted by Simon when he made the comment when he was putting her down. You better hope that everyone that has a telephone calls from Hawaii. And they rallied, and that's why she got it.
They did. And those crazy Hawaiians, that means every person in Hawaii could have called five times.
Well, they're very into their, state. I think they're really into it.
And also, how does it figure that that show had to air at 2 in the afternoon in Hawaii? So it wasn't even in prime time.
Yeah, I don't know if they tape delay it.
Did they leave the phone on for 2 hours?
Yeah, or turn
after
it back
their
on.
Tape delay?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
probably
like,
how they did it.
So Hawaii probably gets their own 2 hours to call in.
That's weird. Yes.
Hawaii gets their own 2 hours to call when the rest of the country can't
calling.
Call.
And
so,
also,
so they're wide open.
And if they were smart, they probably could have started calling when anyone else was calling.
But even then.
Wait, Rob's right, because then if they were smart enough, they could say, well,
they would call during the East Coast window.
Yeah.
They would call during the West Coast window.
And they would call during, that's probably how they got the numbers up.
Maybe they are.
I'd love to find more out about
that. That's a lot of calls to get through.
They cheated us.
They got 1.3 million calls through.
I wonder if Rupert's got a lot of Hawaiian relatives.
Oh, and I've got one last. Oh, phone scan time.
Ah.
Okay, let's get to the phone scan. We want to hear what you have to say. Oh, and also someone today wins the WWE trip for two to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto, August 15th, courtesy of UPN. We've not given that thing away. We'll give it away today.
That's very exciting.
Maybe it'll be during the phone scan at 877-365-3636. I don't have a button for you today, Mike, but I do have a story about Russell Crowe. I think you're going to love.
All right.
Read this in People magazine. It's tough to be a smoker and you're doing a boxing movie. Russell Crowe is making a movie called Cinderella Man,
okay,
where he plays a boxer.
You guys usually in pretty good shape.
He has hired a full-time person to hold, light, put the cigarette up to his mouth, take it away, while he's wearing the boxing gloves.
Oh, God.
A full-time...
That's an addiction, ladies and gentlemen.
A full-time position, because it's impossible for him to light or hold a cigarette while he's wearing his boxing gloves.
Well, I was thinking it was going to be something about his conditioning or anything.
No.
So he's got a guy that's just there...
Full-time. He's
to be
only
his
job.
Cigarette holder.
His only job, because... Hey, mate, I could use a smoke. So then the...
Would you please hold it up?
Yeah.
Hold it up to my mouth.
With the googly woogly.
I got the gribbly.
And
the zanglong.
Rob, I'm tired today. Monday, let me just say, if you want a joke, go to WayneNewton.com and take the virtual tour of Wayne Newton's house.
Oh. Hi there.
Do it yourself this weekend. We'll go through it on Monday.
It's not a house, Don. It's Casa de Shenandoah.
And it's a website better than that Kirk Cameron website.
Wow.
Would you like to see my stallions? Mike, the Arabians are there. At one point, if you go to, it says Caso de Critters. And you can click on to see Wayne Newton's Arabian horses.
Here are my Arabians.
And one of the pictures says, penguins in July. And he's got penguins in his backyard.
Oh my.
I don't know. How did you find that? What got you into that?
You never know.
What got you into that?
I forget.
All I know is
you click and you end up on WayneNewton.com.
Rob just called me up today and says, go to WayneNewton.com.
WayneNewton.com.
And you take a virtual tour of Casa de Shenandoah.
I appreciate that, Don, and I really enjoy what you're doing because of the beating you take each and every week.
And aren't you glad that we work
Nom Bleu.
I applaud
my friend.
I applaud your website. It's entirely family friendly.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that, Rob. Penguins in July?
Well, we'll be right back. Your calls on the phone scan. Life straight ahead, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Go ahead and rub it. Grab me in with for something. What do I wish for? Or anything. I wish I had a big watermelon. I wish I had a big watermelon. I wish I had...
Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown.
Right.
Take this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Let's go.
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Could have used that watermelon, that Little Rascals watermelon thing. We were doing those.
Yeah, watermelon Picasso.
On yesterday's show, a phone scan right now. No, we totally forgot. Hello? We didn't have any groaners today.
That's right, Mr. Shannon. Usually you have the Bitman stuff.
Hello, Mr. Drysdale.
That's Milburn Drysdale, and I think the show's been positively money.
I'm Michael Moore, also known as DJ Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
Are you ready for a groaner?
Yeah, let's get a groaner.
What is the top jet in the Mexican Air Force?
What would that be, Mr. Shannon?
The B-1 Bomber.
That's a groaner.
You, there you go.
So sorry we didn't hear more of those earlier. Really? No, I am not sorry at all. As a matter of fact, Mr. Shannon, I'm delighted you're not going to give us any more of those. As he looks feverishly through.
You know, because I got like 8,000 of these.
I know.
The groaners, I told them I like the groaners. Uh-huh. So they sent 8 pages of groaners.
Sometimes
today.
I believe 8,000 of those would be 8,000 knobs turning to the left.
Phone scan, 877-365-3636. Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh.
Surprise.
Hi, you're on the air. You called us. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Can you pick up, please?
Hello?
You're on a speaker. Can you pick up, please?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey, tonight, Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Maynard.
What?
Tonight, again, Jimmy Kimmel, okay. Jay Maynard.
Oh, they're rerunning it? Jimmy
No. Second appearance.
Having him back.
I heard that he's flying out just to be on standby, though.
Really?
It's not a firm booking.
No, I was just trying to come off the list.
Are you on the list?
Oh, 0000000.
Listen, hold
Sucker
on.
Phones me, wasn't no. there.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me. Oh, bad on. Caller.
Hasn't no. gotten any better.
Hold on. No, Mike, I'm not going to blame the caller. I'm going to blame our system. The book has to step into place.
Absolutely.
If we get somebody... And listen, as of right now, we've got like 6 million people that listen to the show every week. We've only got 8 people we've put in the book.
That's right.
It should be pretty easy at this point
to identify these individuals.
They're 8 out of 6 million.
I bet he was looking forward to one more word and he won't get it.
We've got their phone numbers. Mm-hmm. We sent them the thing to put in their front yard, the sign.
Yeah, and the very fact that he was calling to get out of the book is every reason that he should be in the book.
You can never get out of the book. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Jeremy. I won the trip to Vegas with the inappropriate joke I told you.
All right, Jeremy.
I was just calling if I was wondering if I may share with you a horror story with the airline you guys sent me out there, which was the same one you told a horror story like the day before I left out there to go.
That's fine. And that airline is?
America West.
America, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
What the hell?
Well, it was 3 weeks ago. We got back. We're flying back. We get on the same flight, which, mind you, was the exact same flight, same time, everything that you took out there.
Oh, the one that Fred and I almost missed?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The one that was almost canceled when we were coming back?
The one where they were taping the wings? I'm not sure if I can say that.
Right, you can. You can. This is true. Yeah. On the America West flight that my wife and I took back from Las Vegas,
right.
I swear to Christ, they were duct taping the wings. The plane was late getting in from San Jose because of some problem. Anyway, what happened to you?
Okay, well, essentially what happens, we get on this airplane. We're supposed to arrive in D.C. at BWI at around 11:15. 11:15 comes. The pilot hasn't said hello, hasn't greeted us. All we've seen is that gorgeous video with this nice woman telling us how to put our seatbelts on. That's the only correspondence we've had from anybody.
And as a phobic flyer, I hate that. I hate that more than anything.
When
the pilot doesn't at least say, "Hey, here's when we're going to be here. Here's what the weather is." Then have a nice flight.
Right. Well, we get 11:15 comes around, and the stewardess comes on, and she basically tells us. She says, "Hey, we're on our approach to Washington D.C. We're going to go ahead and prepare for landing now. We're not going to land for a little while." 1:15 in the morning. Nobody has talked to us. The stewardess are strapped in their little seats in the back. Nobody has talked to us. Nobody has said anything. The airplane at this point is dipping down, climbing, it's rising, it's climbing. So you get that eerie feeling like there's something going on.
Right.
We get on the ground at 1:15. 1:15, we finally get on the ground.
2 hours late.
Tired. tired, ready to go to work.
Yep.
The captain gets on and goes, sorry, guys. Basically, what happened is there was a storm in D.C. They closed D.C. They closed all three major airports in D.C. for 2.5 hours. Sorry we didn't tell you guys, but you guys are safely on the ground. Thank you for flying America West. So we're sitting there like, you know, nobody was saying anything on the plane. We're sitting there like... Yeah, we were scared.
I don't know. You probably disagree. You probably would just soon not have them say anything, right? Do you want the communication?
Yeah. No, here's the thing. If you're supposed to arrive at 11:15 and they say, get ready, and it's 2 hours later,
right,
and you're still just going in circles,
yeah,
I'd like somebody
give us a little word about that. Because you probably guess that it's weather anyway. You know,
after that experience that I had with America West, and we don't travel that often. I mean, on my vacations, generally I go to Ocean City. Yeah. I mean, you know, once a year for night, like on a cruise. Mm. But going out to Las Vegas, my experience on America West was so bad that I went on some Consumer Reports website because I wanted to find out. And do you know that the airline with the worst approval rating, like the last 5, 7, 8 years in a row,
right,
it's America West.
There you go.
And I don't know if they advertise with us on one of these other stations we're on, you're wasting your money.
Oh, God.
I didn't want to say that. Just get your flights on time.
Oh, man.
Just get them on time.
Wow. Yeah, we got another trip to Vegas coming up soon, so maybe you'll hear more about it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Because as much as we'll complain right now, we don't have the clout to change anything.
No. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
It's kind of hard to keep up on the phone with this 20-minute delay you guys have to work with now.
Well, that would be your problem, not ours, since you're calling us. See, it's actually very simple to follow along if you listen to the telephone when you're on... were you put on hold?
Oh, no.
Oh, so this is on screen. Oh. All right. Okay, I got it. See, I thought Joe goes through and just says to people, you're on the air. Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, either way, come on, pick it up.
Anyway, I don't want to mess up Buzz's news, but airline today that crashed in near BWI.
Yeah,
no, it was a cargo plane.
Cargo plane, right? It amazed me that so many people were shocked, and then they were interviewing some of the people. And
very quickly,
God, what are you doing?
Quickly, is there a point to this story that a small craft did crash this morning around BWI Airport? And
the woman said, and the guy was describing how the plane came over the house, and it was about 100, he said it was about 100 feet up, and his wife started yelling at him, this plane's got to crash.
Hey, dude.
What?
Dude, how long have you been listening to our show?
A long time.
Really?
How many years?
Since 96.
Do you remember just a moment ago when Don was kind of making a comment about what's the point of the story?
Uh-huh.
And then you began to just tell the story some more?
My point of the story is that all these people live around the airport and they're shocked when a plane crashes.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so. You know, most of the time they stay up in the sky.
Now listen, if you would have just come out and said that at the beginning, I probably would have chuckled.
I would imagine that even if I had a house near the airport, mm-hmm. if one of those suckers landed in my backyard, I'd be a little shocked too.
Sure.
Well, I think that those people know that's part of the risk when you live in next...
So you're agreeing with our caller then.
What I'm saying is...
They should be like, yeah, it happens all the time.
If he had cut to the chase on this story,
you would have been with him more?
I would have been with him.
And I still have been against him.
In theory, I am with him because, you know, what do you expect? Did you see the pictures of the house?
I did not.
You literally could stand on the hood of your car,
right,
spit, and hit a runway at BWI.
Really?
That's how close to the airport this house is.
Man, build a deck. Be nice watching the planes take off and land.
Yeah, except it's like you're playing the lottery to increase the chances of dying. You live by an airport. You live right next to an airport.
Right, right.
And not
but
only...
it's still a shocking occurrence when one of them goes down. No matter what.
How shocked could you be, though? You are living at the airport.
Well, if it's landing in my backyard, I could be as shocked as I want to be.
But what if your house is like 100 yards away from the landing strip?
Well, if it's 100 yards away from the landing strip, I'm still very shocked when a plane crashes.
No, no, no. If you live 100 yards from an airport, mm-hmm. you're shocked if an elephant falls from the sky and falls through your house.
Well, it's just like if you're a pilot. What do you say if the plane's going down? You go, I knew this was going to happen. Boy, I tell you, with all these takeoffs and landings, I knew it was going to happen someday.
Eventually.
You know,
well,
now, what's the deal? Calm down, flight attendant. You knew it had to happen. We're flying.
all these people are dumb enough to live right by the airport.
Well, sometimes it's inexpensive real estate.
And that's why, Mike.
It's a deal.
That and that's why it's a deal, because you pay less, because you're playing roulette with God.
Yeah, you save money on real estate, but it's a fortune to park.
You have to take the shuttle bus.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm in Salt Lake. And
sorry about that. Are you actually in the lake?
No, I'm not actually in the lake. I'm actually at a golf course right now listening to you guys. But the Osmond thing, they're putting more security because they heard about trying to get the pictures taken. So they're having all kinds of security at this at all of Osmond's little funeral thing.
I told you she's as hot as today's headlines.
She certainly is. She still is entertaining us even in death.
Olive Osmond. Hello, Don and Mike show. Why would I love some of that olive oil? Hello.
You can't get that anymore.
Don and Mike show. I bet you could.
Oh,
I bet you could.
Oh, my.
It's only been a couple of days.
Oh, like, stop.
She's not all completely dried out yet.
Oh, dear.
You know what I mean. Yeah. Just the normal fluids that your body, you know.
Okay.
You know, your salivatory glands. your saliva.
You know, maybe it's a that you're wearing that red and black Spider-Man shirt today. That's disturbing.
Is this the dumbest shirt I own? I think we're all in agreement. This is the dumbest shirt I own.
Is the shirt that says, get me to the video game store and put me behind the counter.
It is a Hawaiian Spider-Man shirt. I got it at Universal down in Orlando, and it's a kick-ass. Mike's got a good shirt. I've got his Jesus is a Democrat shirt on.
Yeah, not enough response from it, and incidentally, I don't think it's a good counter that all my good Republican friends are saying when they say Pontius Pilate was a Republican, okay? Yeah. Not funny. Not funny, okay, guys? Yeah.
I believe he was an independent, Mike.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for pointing that out.
I don't think he lined up on one side of the aisle or the other. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Yeah, I'm calling from Salt Lake City.
That's two in a row. What can we do for you?
Just about those pictures, how you guys were talking. You've never seen anybody take a picture at a funeral before.
That's the second guy from Salt Lake City that has decided to strategically remove the C from the word picture.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Picture.
Hello.
Like, Don and Mike, phone scan.
We want a picture, not a belly itch.
There you go, picture.
Yeah, phone scan. Hi.
Radio God.
Howdy.
I have a request for you guys.
Yes, sir.
About maybe like 96, 97, around that time you guys had a little song you played to open the show was something like, the Don and Mike Show, best thing you're gonna find, the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys play that sometime for me?
No.
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 Those were the days, weren't they, sir?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
So ironic, I just destroyed that CD this morning.
Hello.
I'm in a tough spot following that call, but I'm from Virginia Beach, and I was wondering what you guys think about this whole, the guy that lost his head sharing his computer with Zacharias Moussaoui. What do you guys think about that?
What do you mean?
The guy that lost his head?
Well, explain.
Hold on. No, here's the thing. Boy, this is kind of heavy for a phone scam, but I'm glad you brought it up. Here's why I don't trust our government.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
yeah, this
Robbie,
whole thing is a little
Robbie,
handy.
Give me 30 seconds on this, and I'm going to tell you why this is like wag the dog-ish. And this is like why... Let me just say, do you remember the scene in Mission Impossible? And I know I'm talking about a stupid movie. But remember where Tom Cruise... Hold on. Remember where Tom Cruise is on the run and they go and they arrest his aunt and his uncle?
Okay,
and
right.
He says to the guy, well, you've had eight members of your team shot. Do you think that taking Ma and Pa off the... Okay, here's the deal. They got the guy that was beheaded in Iraq.
Right.
And everybody's seen the videotape and everybody's horrified by this, the webcast. Well, all of a sudden, out of the blue, and here's where we can start this now. Out of the blue, I turn on the news and I see everybody's mourning the death of Dick Berg, Nick Berg. Mm-hmm. And oh yes, incidentally, you remember one of those guys that we thought that was involved with the 9/11 thing? One of those guys, one of these tertiary guys. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, he emailed Nick Berg through a friend 3 or 4 years ago, and that's really all that we know right now. It's something that seems to me to be pretty conveniently planted to make this guy look like something was going on with him.
Oh, okay. And
you get what I'm saying?
It speaks to the very under-the-surface subject of this story, which involves this guy at one point being held by the Iraqi police.
Yes.
The only reason given so far, you know, I have to give props to our engineer, Wendell Hall, mm-hmm. who actually...
Winner!
He said this, and yes. I thought, you know, sometimes when Wendell says stuff like
this,
I take it a little bit with a grain of salt, but Wendell mentioned that this guy was being held by the Iraqi authorities mm-hmm. And then released, and there's the reason that they gave in the newspaper, at least in the article I read today, was that anybody who travels alone, which this guy did, is considered suspicious by the authorities that are over. The controlling forces that are trying, they don't trust people traveling alone.
We live in a soundbite world, and here's all I saw on the news this morning. They said, you know, they had a service for Nick Berg. They showed the clip of his father saying George Bush has done this. And then they said, oh, yes, and they put the picture of the guy with the jumpsuit on, the guy who you would recognize his face as being one of the guys that we thought was involved in 9/11, might still be out there. They just
and I know what you're saying, yeah.
And they, you know, he may have had some type of email contact with him. We're not really sure. It's just a way of just casting some kind of doubt.
A doubt as to whether this guy was a legitimate subcontractor that was over there looking for some money.
The FBI said the terrorist had Nick's email address, and then the FBI apparently went on to conclude a coincidence.
Yeah, but it's interesting that after the father comes out and slams the Bush administration,
very
well with it. This guy is kind of linked to maybe he was involved with the terrorists.
I'll have more on that later.
Okay.
Is that what you thought there?
He had one of those crazy beards, though. It just I don't know. It didn't sit well with me after that thing came out today about the email thing.
And as being an average person who's digesting this, what did you think when you heard that story released?
Well, I hate to say something like this over the radio like this, but to tell you the truth, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what if he's one of these John Walker Lind guys, you know, that was a sympathizer over there,
I look, nobody can conclude anything, because we really don't, but I see your point.
Isn't
on
it pretty
totally
fast,
that,
though?
You know, hey, you know, maybe that would be a way, especially when the dad's coming out.
Guy's dad comes on TV and says it's Bush's fault. The next thing you know, if you're just watching TV like I do, where you got it on, you just see the guy that got his head chopped off and then an Al-Qaeda guy, and they just say, there was something between these two guys. More later, goodbye.
Yeah, that's strange. I mean, you know what?
Thank you, my friend.
It just speaks to one. It's so insane.
Thanks for calling. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, got a news tip from Spokane. Don't know if Buzz is aware of.
Oh, Buzz loves it with news tips.
Hey, everybody's so busy today.
What do you got in Spokane?
A couple of days ago, we have a waste treatment center, and there were some engineers on top of it, and a roof collapsed, and one of them fell down and, sorry to say, died buried in a pile of F.
Oh, that's not funny.
What? Hello. Hey, that Buzz, you want that for your button?
No, I'm bad.
John and Mike Show. Hello.
John and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I got one of those, what would you do, would you pick for you guys?
You've made one up on your own?
Huh.
Yeah, this is a classic one that my buddies and I used to always ask me.
All right, sure, fair enough. Go ahead.
Let's say you were in a pool of vomit and some human...
Hold on, I am. Uh-huh. And before you get very graphic... You've got to understand what we can and can't talk about on the radio.
So be careful.
I think it's okay. It's clinically.
All right, but you heard the second one. You set a pool of that, and then you were going to say something else. Bag
that one.
You
can't do
that. So you're in a pool of all this horrible stuff.
Right, okay. You're in a pool of all this horrible stuff, and then some other horrible stuff gets thrown at you. Would you take that in the face or submerge yourself in that other terrible stuff?
Well, see, part of it is that I'd like to know what the terrible stuff is, but you can't say it on the radio. I guess
it's like
why don't you do it with numbers?
Number two.
Okay.
So, would you rather be hit in the face with it, or submerge
yourself to duck it?
I'd submerge.
I would probably submerge too, just as a natural reaction.
Buzz.
Yeah. Same thing.
Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Submerge. Is that the right answer?
It's a personal preference.
People who chose the other one.
He's gone. We're out of time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Happy Friday to you guys.
Right on. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Chris.
Chris. All right. Go. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I have a name for your bobblehead.
Oh, for that Packer bobblehead? What is it?
Yes. His first name is Fudge.
Fudge Packer. The first name, last name would be Packer.
All right.
It was a beautiful...
Hey.
It was a beautiful prize that could have been there for you, but
he blew it.
They're not even going in the book. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm a good caller, Rob.
And when I mentioned a great prize, listen to what we've got here. I bet you'll like it, Pinhead. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Nat.
Nat, where are you from?
I am from the land of
Gonorrhea.
Baltimore.
Gonorrhea. Yeah.
Baltimore. There's a reason I called you Pinhead. Uh-huh. You've won the WWE WrestleMania framed pin collection.
Hey.
Oh. Hey, now.
Whoa.
That's right. Don't miss Judgment Day in your home in-demand pay-per-view this Sunday, May 16th. Call Comcast or Cox, spelled C-O-X, now to order. Digital customers enjoy easy ordering using your digital remote. Congratulations on winning the WrestleMania framed pin collection.
Thank you. That will be a cherished collection in my basement.
And watch,
drinking alone.
Watch out for pricks.
Hey, no, wait, though. I have some Don and Mike trivia. Would you like it to be very quick?
Let me ask you a question. Have you been drinking?
No, I have not.
All right, very, very quickly. Go ahead. What's your trivia?
Okay, who speaks German every day on the Don and Mike show? One person does every day.
Well, it's not me.
It's Mike said that.
Okay, he's correct.
Right.
It's not Buzz, is it?
No.
It's got to be me.
Yes, it is.
Verboten. I know the word, verboten.
Right, verboten. Ah, that's it? That's the trivia?
Wait, hold on. I have one or two more.
I got one for you.
Okay.
What's the name of the guy that called the show, and we gave him a prize, and then because he just kept prattling on, we took the prize away?
Oh, no. It's not Matt, is it?
Oh, I thought it was Nat was your name. Is it Nat with an M or Matt with an M?
Matthew. I will stop talking because I'm a great fan.
Okay, Matthew, enjoy your pin collection.
Has I been drinking?
Okay, let's just part right here as friends. Enjoy the pin collection.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks for listening.
Good day, sir.
Appreciate it.
I haven't been drinking, sir.
Thank you. Oh, listen.
Yes, sir.
How long has it been since we have served our gay community, Mike?
I don't know, sir.
When we come back, we'll have the chance.
Thank you, sir.
Be right back.
All right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show. They always play the tired card. Don and Mike.
And I think I've mentioned on today's show, we're giving away a trip for two to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto, Canada.
Hey, go up and see our Canadian friends.
August 15th. Courtesy of UPN. We'll give that away later. Hope you've been listening to the entire show today. Way out there. We haven't done way out there in like 2.5 months.
No, we haven't. Ho, ho, ho.
And I don't remember who with who. Am I Michael Hughes?
You're Michael Hughes.
The regional vice president.
And I, of course, am Alan Linewand.
The general manager.
General manager. Very exciting. I was wondering if you wanted to modify that. You could be Cameron Gray.
I'd rather be Michael Hughes.
I know you would.
Only because Michael Hughes doesn't like having his name said on the radio.
Right.
Exciting, exciting, exciting. He's a queer one, that Michael Hughes is.
What a mighty queer thing.
You know, he's a queer cocktail. He really is. Go figure this.
Uh-huh.
Never mind. I'll tell you about it later. It's just some inside radio thing you don't need to hear. He's so nutty. And he's never gotten enough Rupert.
That's true.
Rupert won that $1 million on Survivor. Michael Hughes promised that he would call our show.
Everyone was so happy. You know, it's almost as though the unhappy ending that Fox gave us the night before was countered by the happy ending that CBS gave us.
Mike, excuse me, Alan?
Yes, Michael?
Well, we have this edition of Way Out There. We're going to be talking to a man who helped you on vacation with your dream job.
That's wonderful.
Like, for instance, let's say you wanted to be an innkeeper.
I'd love to be an innkeeper.
Maybe you want to be a horse trainer.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd love to be a chocolatier.
My friend Flicka.
A pastry chef.
Uh-huh.
How about being a winemaker?
I'd like to be a sausage maker.
Some might say you already are.
Oh, you silly beast.
Anyway,
Michael Hughes.
Alan Linewand.
My goodness.
We're going to have them on the show now. So, Bud.
Yes?
As soon as you hear the music, that means I've pressed the button down, the guy's on the radio with us, and you can give us the intro, okay?
All right.
Very good. We're ready to start the show.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Way Out There with your hosts, Michael Hughes and Alan Linewand. Now, here are Michael and Alan.
Thank
you, Ted.
Hi, everybody. This is Michael Hughes.
And I'm Alan Limewan.
As you know, we are high-ranking executives for CBS Broadcasting. We are openly gay, and once a week we get the chance to come out and do the show called Way Out There. I hope you're happy.
I just have to point out to each and every one of you, the reason the show is called Way Out There is because we're not just out, we're way out there.
And let me just say, we will be having our Clay Aiken sing-along right after we talk to the man, the vacation man.
I'd like to thank everybody in our audience for sending us along those fabulous John Stevens should not have been kicked off the show emails.
They were
wonderful to read.
And LaToya, I cried. But enough about American Idol.
Absolutely. It's our favorite show.
I'm Michael Hughes.
And I'm Alan Limewand.
We work for CBS. We're openly gay. We're proud of it. And we're glad that the Tiffany Network has given us this chance on Westwood One to do topics that appeal to today's modern gay broadcast executive.
Absolutely. And we've got a special one today. It concerns what we all enjoy, a nice vacation, just like when you and I went on our cruise last year.
We did. We went on our first. You know, we've recently come out. We went out. I wouldn't say we're an item anymore. Would you, Alan?
We've recently come way out. Michael, you know that. And, of course, to celebrate that, we did go on, well, I guess what they would call them would be a gay cruise.
A gay cruise.
And it was wonderful.
We went with the thought that we were going to meet other people, and, well, it turns out we had more in common than we thought.
We did. It was fabulous. We went just as friends, and we came back a little closer than that. And it was a wonderful trip. Flawless. Really, the best vacation I've ever been on, except for that one day you spent a little too much time at the pool, Mr. Man.
Can I help it? There were all those dreamy young Puerto Rican boys.
I understand.
Even the European men with their Speedos and their giant gelatinous stomachs had me out there. All I know is that I am the manager of 8 major market radio stations. You know, it's behind the scenes. I am a manager, and the pressure is incredible. Alan is managing one of my broken down stations.
Yes, I'm trying to prop things up, and it's constant work and a tremendous amount of pressure.
Well, when you work in the high burnout field of radio, and you're a gay man, and you've recently come out of the closet, you might want to take your vacation time and do something special.
Something really unique. Something that makes you feel good. Something that makes you feel like you have a different job.
You know what I've always wanted to do?
What's that?
Be a chocolatier.
Oh, I think that would be a wonderful thing, where you just make candy all day.
Now, if I
How
could.
How simple and wonderful and innocent and good.
I might want to be a pastry chef.
Mm-hmm.
I might want to be, I don't know.
I've always wanted to be an innkeeper.
Well, let's get him on the phone. His name is Brian Kurth. And Robbie, you have him ready for us?
He's ready to go.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi. Welcome to the show. My name's Michael Hughes.
And I'm Alan Limewan. And, Brian, you're on Way Out There. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Well, it's great being here.
Hip, happy, freaky Friday to you.
Well,
and can you tell me a little something about your business where you get people and you take them on vacations and they actually get to try out different jobs?
Well, I have to just first of all say that I'm part of the Way Out There Club, so...
wonderful! Uh-oh. That couldn't be better. That couldn't be better. Well, let me just say, welcome to the show. You know, we try not to book gay guests, but you'd be surprised. We do a show that's on 2 times a week, and I would say about 50% of our guests end up being way out there like we are.
It's very wonderful. And, of course, your company's called Vocation Vacation.
Who other than a gay guy could come up with a name like that? Right?
Bravo! Yeah. Let's put applause together!
Are you right? Now, tell me something. I work in radio, and it is just a 24/7 headache. And I love chocolate. This is Michael Hughes speaking, incidentally.
You wanted to be, you said before, you want to be a chocolatier in my dream.
Well,
What exactly is a chocolatier? Is that something to do with Disney?
It has to do with my Willy Wonka fetish.
Oh, of course, I know. The Gene Wilder, not the character in the book.
Oh, yeah, the dreamy Gene Wilder.
Absolutely.
The late Gene Wilder.
Regrettably, he has passed.
Can you tell me? Gene Wilder passed. Yes, he did.
I didn't realize
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. He was, incidentally, a lot of people thought he was a member.
His wife, Gilda?
Gilda died. Did Gene Wilder pass?
Yes, he did.
Are you sure?
And a lot of people thought that he was a member of the club. He wasn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He wasn't, but we loved him.
Go to deadoralive.com. Have you been there?
Deadoralive.com? I haven't been to that website.
There's another
old
radio show for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you enter in someone's name, and it'll come up a happy face if they're still alive or a I forget what it is.
Well, listen, aren't you sweet?
More applause for Brenda.
Aren't you sweet? Now, do you mind if we steal that bit? I mean, we're only on three times a week.
Go for it.
Oh, aren't you super?
Well, you want to be a chocolatier. Do you take somebody and, like, read their profile and then figure out what vocation they would have on their vacation?
No, actually, they come to me. They, I have a portfolio of different offerings that include chocolatier and innkeeper, as you had mentioned, as well as there are other ones coming on board.
Brian, I have to ask you a question. I'm sorry, yeah. Michael, I'm breaking in.
Yeah.
The new Nora Jones album.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cut?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I don't know what
that is. I'll tell you mine. It's track number 8. I don't remember the name of it. It's a dreamy song.
The one you play all the time in the office?
All the time. Okay.
Ditto. Love it.
Do you want that playing while making chocolate?
Oh, yes, please.
And you know that...
It relaxes and centers him.
As long as you're talking about fantasy, how about if I could make some chocolate, be listening to my music, and then I go and I see Hugh Jackman on Broadway? Then I am a completely happy sailor.
Absolutely. And then just think, you could go see Hugh Jackman on Broadway and then fly off to be a chocolatier. But I've got a wild card. Alan Limewine has a wild card for everyone.
You are wild. What's your wild card, Alan?
I see on the list, Brian, that I could venture up to Alaska for a week and be a fisherman.
You sure could.
I'd love to be a fisherman.
You couldn't do that. You're not tough enough to be a fisherman.
I certainly could. There's
Are
no
you
need
ready
to
for the big catch, Alan?
I am ready for the big catch, Brian. And thank you for calling me, Alan.
Now we're kidding here. Do you know really how non-sportsman you are?
I understand, but it's always been something I've wanted to do ever since I read The Old Man and the Sea.
It's all in the wrist. The casting is in the wrist.
That's wonderful, Brian.
You know, Brian, Ted, our announcer, has always wanted to work on a fishing craft.
Oh, yeah.
He'd always wanted to go and just be on a boat. Would you have a job for him that he could do?
And what kind of boat?
He wants to work on a fishing craft.
Oh, sure. We're working on that, actually. And actually, you had mentioned your vacation on a cruise ship. We're actually working on a cruise director as well. We're... I hear Julie McCoy screams coming across.
When? Is it going to happen? Tell me.
It's in the works.
Oh my goodness.
One of the major lines.
Well, throw out fishermen. As far as I'm concerned, I would go for the cruise director in a heartbeat.
Listen to me now.
I want to be Julie McCoy from The Love Boat.
Of course. Well, if I could, I would.
And you've tried.
I have tried. God knows I've tried.
Vacations. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Brian, and they give you the chance to work as a winemaker, an innkeeper,
want to do a chocolatier. And I love the name of that. It's got such a happy ring to it. Chocolatier!
And this is kind of a behind-the-scenes thing, Brian, but we have a very upfront show with our audience. We call it Way Out There. It's 5 after the hour, everybody. Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
And I'm Alan Limewine.
Have a great, great Friday. Have a super Saturday and a sensational Sunday. And we'll come back for Marvelous Monday.
That's exciting.
Would it be possible that if we were to say that we had a deal with you where I could be a chocolatier, and then maybe we could work out some kind of trade deal where someone could come by my office for a week and shadow me and find out what it's like to work in the broadcasting.
To run a bunch of radio stations.
That is actually something that I would love to do. We are working on that as well as on the TV side.
Fantastic.
TV and film production. And we're actually, just if there are any producers listening out there, we are actively working towards creating basically a branded television show based on vacation.
Are there safety guides in there? Like, for example, I see on your list here that you have an opening for hunting and fishing guides. If I took that rugged job, would there be someone there from your organization to protect me?
Charlton Heston with the NRA will be there to protect you.
Oh, I think
I don't like the NRA.
I don't like that organization, but I certainly I certainly enjoyed some of his films. I love him when he's Moses.
That's right.
Where's your Messiah now?
Yes, absolutely.
Where's your Messiah now?
Absolutely. I'd like to be a Laker girl.
Have you seen 30 Going on 13?
I have not.
It is fantastic with Jennifer Gardner. She's a girl. It's like the Tom Hanks movie, Big, but it's with a girl. I loved it. I would recommend it this weekend.
I could be a horse trainer, too. I'd like to do all these jobs. I'd like to be a cheesemaker, raceway manager.
And, Brian, I have to know something. Are you going to go see Troy this weekend?
I am.
Are you going to see Troy?
Is that the one with Brad Pitt?
Yes.
Sorry. I can't say that on the radio.
Put your hands together if you're going to go see Troy.
Yes.
Bravo.
He's dreamy. So, Brian, the website, you know, I've been told that we have to break. Because, you know, there's the, here on Westwood One, it's like point, counterpoint. We get 15 minutes, and then they bring on Rob Spiewak with his 15-minute hatred show.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And then we get to come back on with our point of view.
He's a beast.
Brian, can we have the name of your website again?
Absolutely. It's vocationvacations.com.
Well, we're going to be sure to check out that website, and I hope you let us know as soon as that cruise director position opens up.
I sure will.
Could you do us a favor? You're such a nice man to have on the show, and would you just say, this is Brian Kurtz, and I've been on Way Out There with Michael Hughes and Alan Limewand.
I am Brian Kurtz, and I'm thrilled to have been on Way Out There.
Yay!
You're good people, Brian.
On Way Out There with Michael Hughes and Alan Limewand.
With Michael Hughes and Alan Limewand.
Aren't you a sweetheart?
You're the man, Brian.
You're fantastic.
You're a dear heart.
Thank you for joining us.
Hold on. Our producer, our houseboy, Robbie, needs to talk to you. Hold on. You've been a great guest, Brian.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Hold on. We were talking with Brian about the movie Troy.
Are you going to see the movie this weekend? What do you blah, blah, blah? Okay.
Brian, thanks so much. How do you think it went? Oh, it was perfect. We'd love to call you back sometime. And I'll talk to the guys. I don't know if he was just blowing smoke about the shadowing thing, but...
Get him to send something to Michael Hughes.
If he's interested in it, I'll give you a call back.
He's chatting.
Very cool. Well, I tell you what, get ready. Your website's going to get a lot of hits tonight. Have a good one.
Get a lot of letters.
Those guys weren't fags.
There are a lot of people. Yeah, like you didn't know.
A lot of
funny. You love to do it. He knew from the minute.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
Mike, boys, really? Trust me.
How much you want to bet?
He knew. I bet you $1,000.
Gator,
you're on.
Yep. No, there's no way. You out the thing if you try to get him to, you know, if you say,
what if
you
Buzz,
think they were really gay?
What if Buzz called him?
Really?
I mean, is there a way, though? See, if we
call
the
number for him right now, he's
never going to this church with these guys.
No,
don't do it. I just, what he said right there, he just said, I am part of the life, too.
The club, yeah.
I think he was a believer.
Because I think the impressions are way out there.
I think so, but on the other hand, if you are a gay guy and you're on a show, like you think you're being goofed, why wouldn't you just hang up? I mean, everybody wants to plug for the website.
Camp it up if you thought it was a goof. But I thought because of his club comment and because you guys are subtle with your list.
We are so subtle.
Uh-huh.
That's nothing subtler. I would stake my reputation as a broadcast. I feel strong. I thought he believed it.
I did too.
I thought he bought it.
You know, he's that guy that used to do the show on the on PBS. The guy with the little goatee beard, the thin goatee beard that used to do like a decorating show. Remember that guy?
Which one?
I forgot what his name was.
Christopher.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. But anyway.
No, I really don't.
Yeah. I forgot what his name was.
Well, do you know it, Rob? What's his name?
Christopher Lowell?
Yeah, that guy. You know, the guy that was like, he was very over the top.
He's straight,
uh-huh. Straight as an arrow.
He's totally straight. No, I know the guy that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely,
now.
Yeah.
Right.
We sound like him.
Right.
But I think at the beginning, I think the guy was on to us.
Mm.
But you know what?
How do we find out?
I don't know. It's not really that important to me.
Well, it is to me.
I know.
Because you said you got $1,000 on.
Yes, I know.
So it's important to me.
This is true.
It's very important.
Now it's a quest to you.
It is.
We may never know, though.
We're not going to be able to resolve it on today's show. But see, the only way to resolve it is to call him right now. But how do you call a guy and say, did you think those guys were homos?
So you call him and you say, did you think that they were gay? Or do you think that they were doing a parody?
Yeah, but
that's what you say.
No, but what you're doing is you're giving him the option of thinking. See, there has to be a more sophisticated way.
Yeah, yeah. Have Rob call him and say, the guys were really excited to hear that you were a member of the club, and feel free to get in touch.
No, that's directing it in a different direction. You're continuing the dupe.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, we don't have a number for him. He called us. He's out right now. We could call him.
He's out right now.
Hey,
get it?
Hey. Ah. All right. Anyway, I thought he believed it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, look what you made me do. Oh, God. Happy Friday, everybody. Now, look at that. Look at that.
Oh, no!
It's like the color of snow that's been in a... you know when snow gets to be that gray color?
No! Mm-hmm. Thank you for explaining. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Hear your exhaust pipe.
Oh, God.
Ay, ay, ay.
Good to say. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I guess we'll get some people to tell you if they thought he believed it or not. Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, guys, I know how to do it. I'll call him up as a customer. Hey, I heard you on the radio with this guy. You know this? You think those guys are gay?
No, again, though, you're leading him too much.
Yeah.
Don and Mike, hello. Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I look like Christopher Lowell.
If I was you, I'd find a gun store.
Poor.
Hey! You say that to the grand prize winner of the 1996 Don and Mike Love Fest?
Oh, really? Congratulations, sir. Wish we remembered that.
I know how you can solve this.
How's that?
You must seduce him.
Okay, you first.
Done and done.
You first. I'll pay you $1,000.
Hey, we'll get the real guys.
Hold
to
on,
do it.
Mike.
Yes.
Would you trust Homo Joe?
Huh?
Would you trust Homo Joe?
Absolutely not.
No, you wouldn't. What if he agrees with you?
I still don't trust Homo Joe.
Homo Joe?
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
What do you think, HJ?
I think he's a Mo.
Yeah. Well, we know he's a Mo.
He is.
But do you think he believed that we were Mo's?
I think he probably thought it was like a campy show, yeah. Because there's like a show up in Philadelphia that has a gay guy that's really campy with that kind of voices and out there.
There you go. So that's $1,000.
I said, but I would have had to agree to the terms prior to that.
I know we didn't. I'm
Joe has always desperately wanted to be your friend.
And me him. And I should say.
That's worth $1,000 right there.
And I. You know what, Mike? There's one simple way to solve this.
Yes.
Where's Fez Watt? Where's Todd Hilliard?
I have no
Just
idea.
Just bring him in.
Well, you know, we'll have to find out at the end of the show.
We will.
Todd Hilliard.
We got a break. Well, come on. Like, that's a big surprise.
Michael Soares.
Hi, it's me, Don Geronimo. We'll come back with a Friday favorite. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Camille.
For years, my wife has suffered from a medical condition.
It's called IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Not always an easy thing to talk about, but we are.
Because IBS strikes millions of people.
If you have abdominal pain and bowel problems...
Who cut one?
Don't get embarrassed.
Get help. IBS is a real condition, and there are ways to help manage it.
Be you.
Don't suffer in silence.
Talk with your doctor.
It's not silent. Silent but deadly.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
As Joe Artinger says on Friday, Mike, we can steer, have a can of fear. I have a shout out for some of our stations on the Westwood One radio network. How about Salt Lake? We got some calls from Salt Lake today. Big 700 KALL.
Wichita.
That's for Buzz.
Yeah.
KFH. FM 98.7. Warren, Ohio. WANR. Wausau, Wisconsin. WRIG. Kansas City. KCTE. Baltimore. Live 105. We actually got a call yesterday from Pittsburgh. We know the station is on the air. WURP.
Yeah, Warp.
Warp. Warp rhymes with burp. And it's a Friday favorite. And I think pretty goddamn time. Let's go. We got someone. Someone coming in right now. Who recently made television history. Well.
Hello, Don. I'm listening.
Hi, Kelsey.
I have nearly none time to put my head on my pillow.
Pardon?
So sad the eyes that look upon the sitcom going astray.
Speak English,
so
man.
Nice to be with you. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank everyone for the cards and the letters. Lovely letters that they've sent to me, Kelsey, saying thank you for touching my soul. Yes, but I fear we must say adieu to the fabulous Frasier and my wonderful cast and my wife Camille, who's given me such inspiration during her darkest days when her bowels were not normal. How are you, Don? I'm listening.
Well, I've,
hello, Buzz.
Hello, Frasier.
I've seen the hype.
And a big fan of the show.
I've seen the hype for the last episode of Frasier.
Oh, the show is very, very, very highly rated. I believe we had a great number last night.
Did it beat Survivor?
Yeah, actually it did. Yeah,
well, I'd like to say, if I may take this opportunity.
What about CSI? Did it beat CSI?
Yes, it did. It won the night.
May I just express my eternal gratitude. And in the words of Alfred Tennyson, may I simply say,
who's Alfred Tennyson?
And up and down the people go, gazing where the lilies blow, round an island there below. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Says it all.
Yes, I just wanted to say, the poems of Tennyson were featured on my final episode last night.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Your poems stink, and so do you.
In yonder chair, I see him sit, three fingers round the old silver cup. What? Farewell, NBC. Adieu, my massive American audience.
But now you're going to take the show to another network, right?
Yet fill my glass, give me one kiss. My own sweet Alice, we must die. Farewell, Peacock Network.
Now, is
so it, sad, so
you know,
sad. Tears.
I didn't watch it. Is this what Kelsey Grammer, is this what he did last night
at
on the show?
At the end of my show, I'd like to explain it to you.
Okay.
At the end of my show, I actually read a poem from Alfred Tennyson to express the way I feel, which is,
what a load.
You should take risks. And I am virtually certain that the majority of my viewing audience had no idea what I was doing.
What risk have you taken?
I mean, besides
getting behind the wheel of your car.
When I took that Viper down Sunset Boulevard at speeds in excess of 130 miles per hour, I believe I was taking risks. I don't take as many risks as I used to. I'm very content, and life has blessed me with the enormous riches that I can't even begin to thank everyone.
But don't boast about your riches.
I don't boast. I
How rich
say,
are you?
I am so rich. I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams.
I just told you don't boast about it.
I'm sorry. You sprung me a trap. A sprung trap you did. Yes. Terry.
Who's Terry?
I don't know. I'm simply trying to sound as pretentious as I possibly can.
And you are.
That's been my act for a number of years, and I will tell you, it's been enormously successful. And when we plan F3, yes, very excited about the potential of that. Camille bathes in sapphires. That's how rich I am.
Wow.
Yes, Siri. She's surrounded by the finest furs and chocolates. She must go easy, though. One milkshake a month for Camille, based on her IBS.
Yes.
Irritable bowels.
What would you say, Kelsey?
And I'm here to talk about that as well.
What would you say to the little brain?
If you have a problem with your bowels, make sure you get help. There are doctors that can help you.
And those doctors never bite their fingernails.
Her furs need constant laundering. But I'm so glad that we were able to knock off the competition, as it were.
Hey, well, knock off the competition, Niles.
Sorry. And I'd like to say kudos to each and every one of all of my wonderful cast members. Their names escape me right now because it's really all about me.
What would you say, Kelsey?
Yes, I'd say anything you want if it was written down. I'm not particularly funny by myself.
But try this off the top of your head.
Yes.
A lot of people watched the show Frasier, and they were not accepting.
Have I not found a happy earth?
Pardon me?
I less should breathe the thought of pain.
Or Tennyson.
What?
Alfred Tennyson.
Yes, Alfred Lloyd.
You know what it means?
No.
Neither do I. Thank you, Don, for allowing me to read this pretentious poetry, because it makes me seem more pretentious than I already am. Jack Benny can get bent. Oh, what? Love me do. The Beatles.
Yeah.
I can dumb it down for your audience as well.
Can you really?
Love me do.
Can you
imagine
name
all the people.
Can you name the four Beatles?
Oh, of course I can.
It's a simple pop culture.
Let me see. All right, that would be John.
John who?
Lennon.
John Lennon, right.
Let me see. I'm trying to think right now. I'm trying to tax my brain. You've got a brain teaser that you're trying to trick me with. There would be Ringo.
You remember Ringo Starr? Good.
There would be George and
Keith.
Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
Keith. John, Paul, George, and Curly.
No, listen to this.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, Richard, to John and Mike.
John, Paul, George, and Axel.
Again.
Am I wrong?
Again wrong.
Uh-huh. John, Paul, George, and Slash.
Is the caviar we got you okay?
The caviar was fantastic. The wine was delicious. The sweetbreads were delicious also. I enjoyed that wonderful repast that you provided for me in the green room. I was delighted and amused at the stories of Colette, your receptionist, as she led me to the lovely green room decorated with candles. Scented candles and fine wine and chocolates.
Now, I was told not to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you something anyway.
Yes.
You know those...
Fire away, Don. I'm here. I'm listening.
You know those little finger sandwiches you were eating in the green room?
Ah, the finger sandwiches. delicious, lovely exotic meats, exotic sauces, butters, breads,
the tray,
chilies, jalapenos.
The tray
and the nachos were yummy.
The tray with all of the finger food?
I enjoyed the finger food.
Uh-huh. It fell on the ground.
You mean you actually let them soil themselves and then put them back on the plate?
Somebody told me that when the caterer was bringing the food in, that he tripped, and a bunch of the little sandwiches, right, Robbie, fell on the ground.
Well, they weren't dirty.
Well, I will tell you this, that I will be firing off a letter to your boss and your boss's boss, and I will say, that's not the way you treat a major star with enormous, blessed with enormous riches. James Arness isn't fit to lick my golden vapors. I am so happy.
Now, can't you say something to relate to your fans who are not... millionaires, 10,
perhaps
20,
I could
50
say,
times
I,
over.
Perhaps I could say this, if I could say just for one moment, to all of your listeners, especially the ones that may not be educated to an extent where they would understand.
But they still watch, though.
They watch me. Mm-hmm. I will say this.
What?
Arise, and let us wander forth through yon old mill across the wolds. For look, the sunset south and north winds all the veil in rosy folds. Thank you, thank you. That's my way of saying... I'm just so glad they gave me a viper.
Listen, why don't you stop reading poetry?
All right,
for one
put
second.
My poetry away.
For one
These
second.
Poems are the poems of Alfred Tennyson.
I thought your
listeners would enjoy them.
Speak
I thought
from
I'd
your
providing
heart.
Them something special.
Speak from your heart.
Next thing you're going to tell me, I can't play my opera records that I brought.
You brought opera records?
I brought opera. I love opera. Don't you enjoy opera?
No, it's
a lovely German opera.
I like the grass.
I know the boy in back of you is a big fan of Wagner.
Do you like the grassroots?
I can listen to the grassroots. Yes, let me see. I'm taxing my brain to see if I know one of their little tunes that they played years ago. I know you're a big fan. Hold it. It's coming to me. Slowly but surely. Here we go. Yes, sir. I'm Henry VIII. I am.
No, that's not
Damn.
Right, man.
Damn, I was so close. I thought I had it.
Kelsey.
I really thought that I was close.
Say something now to Joe Sixpack.
Yes, I'm listening. Say something to who?
Say something to Joe Sixpack.
Joe Sixpack.
The guy out there that watches Frasier every week doesn't really understand it, but...
You're talking about beer, of course, right? Is it a fine Bavarian lager?
No.
All right. I'm listening. Go ahead. Suggest again, Don.
Okay.
I'm your pupil. For
the
one
average...
moment... One moment in time... I will be your pupil.
The average American
yes.
that watches Frasier
yes, the average American
doesn't get the jokes about
it,
opera
yes.
and about
opera, yes.
chilling wine.
And a sherry. We pour lots of sherry on the show. It's real, too.
So what would
David High Pierce and I, we enjoy the sherry together.
What would you say...
In the tub.
What would you say to those people who don't get the opera jokes, the jokes about literature, the jokes about education? Dumb it down. Tell them thank you for listening.
This is for all of you people that have supported me in spite of your limited knowledge of culture. I would like to pass along to each and every one of you, go out into that world, that cruel world, sit back and enjoy a sandwich of cheap ground meat and warm yoo-hoo. How's that? Have I satisfied you? Have I satisfied you, old Spider-Man shirt?
And
have I provided that for your listening audience?
And I bet you don't like my Spider-Man shirt, do you?
No, it's a tribute, it's an homage to pop culture. And I understand that you like the animated features. I believe there's a great deal of artistic talent that is in the pens of those animators that pen away those comic books, and it's developed into this major franchise. I salute you. I enjoy money.
Have you ever picked your nose?
No. Not to my knowledge. Well, of course I have, yes.
Really? When's the last time you picked your nose?
Well, I wrote a poem about it, if you'd like to hear. This is not by Alfred Tennyson.
I would love to hear
this
an original poem. An original poem by Kelsey Grammer about picking your nose.
This is a book of poetry. I've taken out several pages, and this happens to be one of them. Morning comes. The dew is on the grass outside my mansion in Los Angeles.
Well, now,
deep, I probe.
This must be one of those...
You're interrupting my poetry. This was something that I was going to read, and now you've spoiled the entire moment. Don't you understand? A dramatic reading of poetry requires undivided attention, and you've deprived me of that.
But doesn't a poem go like, oh, what a feeling when you're dancing on the ceiling?
Oh, I see, poor boy. You're realizing that all the poems must rhyme.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Poems are expressions of feelings from the soul, and you asked me if there was a nose-picking poem, and I was reading it.
All right, go ahead.
Deep, deep, deep I probe. That fine nail seeking out the deep cavernous holes of my nostril. Suddenly, the excitement grows. I believe I've found it. There it is. The one piece of furniture in my nasal passage that was eluding me. And there, I remove, I look, and, alas, I taste. Thank you, and flick away into oblivion, my fine crunchy friend.
I like
never to be seen by mine eyes again.
I like it.
Another salty gem formed of dry phlegm.
It don't rhyme though.
It doesn't have to always rhyme. Are you taking me? It's supposed to be roses are red, violets are blue. I like Frasier and you do too. Well, couldn't we all do that? I mean, that's exactly what we could do.
Aren't you also?
That's not exactly what I want to read. I want to read the poems of Tennyson and Dylan Thomas and all the great poets.
Aren't you
the poems?
Aren't you Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons?
Yes, I am. Anytime there's money. And I also would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to my good friends at Helzberg Diamonds. What lady like Camille doesn't enjoy a fabulous, fabulous treasure from Helzberg Diamonds? Yes, if the money's green, Frasier will come.
All right.
Kelsey will come to you in the event that you provide him with an open check.
Kelsey, we have a champion.
To all my friends at NBC, thank you for the Viper. Back in my days when I was drinking heavily and doing lines of cocaine, I never dreamed that my life would turn out quite this way.
You know, I don't know if we have a challenger or a champion. Either way, just call now. We need two people to play Jeopardy with Frasier at 877-365-3636. Excuse me, the low-budget Jeopardy.
I hope you'll forgive me for not being too curt, but that is truly a fine, fine shirt.
Oh, did you just write that to rhyme for me?
He did
that
was for
just
you.
Specifically for you.
That's thank
nice.
You.
For you.
Thank you. And I've got one for you.
Laughter, laughter, you make people roll, but in that shirt perhaps you could bowl. Barmaid, more still, peanuts and a Pepsi. Delicious, delicious time.
I look in the mirror and I see a big fat blob. But at least I don't see a nose-picking snob.
Ah, very good. See, you're catching on, Stavis. We're making magic here, aren't we? Maybe we'll consider you for F3.
F3 of Frasier 3.
Frasier 3. I'm listening. Okay. I'll be based in San Francisco with the Flashdance girl. She was seated next to me on the airplane. Fabulous actress and a wonderful lady.
Nose job, right?
I don't think she's had a nose job. And, of course, my attraction is consumed only by her stage presence. And Camille... Don't worry. I will not have an affair on you. Despite of your IBS.
And that stands for?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Right.
Yes. Do not go gently into that bed.
Got a break. When we come back, we'll play the game with Kelsey.
That creaking sound always says pain for Camille.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Let's go slumming. I'll meet you at Outback.
Kelsey, we're going to talk about OnStar now and hands-free cell phone use.
Oh, that's wonderful. It would be my pleasure.
Do you have OnStar?
Yes, I do. Everything. I have every gadget known to mankind.
What do you do with OnStar if you want to make a call?
Well, what I do is I press a little white button, and the lady comes on and talks to me, and do I have that right?
Now, do you actually press the button, or does one of your man boys press the button?
Actually, I have someone that rides along with me and handles all my cell phone calls, and then the individual next to me also lights my cigarette and smokes it for me.
Russell Crowe, if you're an OnStar subscriber, just push the white dot button and order some minutes. Then you're in your car, you press the button, and it says, how can I help you? You say, call, you give it the number, and it's hands-free.
In a few seconds, the call comes through your stereo speakers, and you can talk away without ever having to dial a number or hold a phone. I'm listening.
Remember, OnStar personal calling is available here in D.C. Go to OnStar.com for more info.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you, Don.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. Nothing matters but the weekend.
Oh, good. Heavens, no.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
Don't forget, we've still got the WWE trip. The Super Slam in Toronto. We'll give it away before the end of the show today.
Isn't that lovely?
Do you like wrestling?
I enjoy all sorts of sports, including the blood sports. I like the sweet science of boxing. I've been to several boxing matches in Las Vegas and enjoyed myself thoroughly.
You don't find it to be a bit primal?
No, I don't. I enjoy that. I think it's necessary for men to vent their frustrations and pummel each other once around. I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. I enjoy going out there to Las Vegas and being part of the glitz and the glamour. And so does Camille, as long as we bring the proper amount of medical supplies along. It'll be fine.
How many?
That's what I tell her every
time
we hop on that private plane.
How many chairs has she ruined?
She's ruined many, but we can't go into that detail. I must tell you, it would be embarrassing. And I would just simply say, I'm listening. I stroke her lovely blonde hair and say, it'll be fine. Be mine. My Valentine. I let her in croquet.
Let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This
Kelsey.
Low Budget Jeopardy. Now in the studio are our two fine, strapping contestants. First of all, let's say hi to an overhaul technician in Wichita, Kansas. This is Garrett Sexton.
Hey, Garrett.
Hey, LQ. Hey, Kelsey.
How are you, Garrett? And now in the studio is our second combatant, an insurance representative from Portland, Maine, on the Pine Tree State. Let's say hi to Todd Daly.
Hey, Todd.
Hello, sir.
What's happening? I think it's important for me to point out we had a character, Kenny Daly, on the Frasier Show. He was the fat boy that substituted for me. He was my boss. Kenny Daly, and of course, it was part of the storyline last night. I certainly hope all of you enjoyed it.
And what are your wishes for him?
We're considering Kenny Daly for F3. Everyone is basically being considered for F3, but of course, contractually, I'm not allowed to speak on that topic.
Do you know that most television executives, when asked about F3, said F you?
Oh, that's very good. I enjoyed that in my old days, my rambunctious party days, Todd. And now in the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. I tell you, Todd, and I tell you, Garrett, don't screw with LQ. And please make welcome Alex Trebek.
Thank you, Frazier. Kelsey.
Thank you.
And guys, here are your categories, and they are Spelling Bee.
Spelling Bee, the English language, it's such a gift.
Old School, Who Made That Car?
Old School, Make That Car. I'm confused about that category.
Old School, Who Made That Car?
Old School, Who Made That Car. Is that a poem?
American Idol, Gone and Forgotten.
Pop Culture, Bravo.
Van's the Name.
Van's the Name.
And this week's best-selling DVDs.
Oh, this is quite a puzzle we have this week.
So we've got the categories. Spelling Bee.
Spelling Bee. I'll do fine on that one.
Old School, Who Made That Car.
That might not be good for me.
American Idol, Gone, Forgotten.
How about Old School, Who Rolled That Car?
Van's the Name. And this week's best-selling DVDs. Todd, we'll start with you.
Good luck. Take the battle to each other.
I will take American Idol for one.
Pretend you're playing croquet.
Yes, I let her in it. Cricket, fine sport.
You played badminton?
Badminton, I was fantastic. I would always get the birdie.
What did you want there, Todd?
American Idol, please.
American Idol, Gone or Forgotten? The most recent loser.
That would be, who is?
Garrett, it's your chance to steal. All the buzzers, I'm so confused.
Who is? You got to do the form of a question thing.
Garrett, I believe it's your chance to steal.
Who is LaToya London?
Right.
And a travesty of justice. Godspeed, LaToya. Good luck with your career.
American Idol 2.
The red-haired boy.
Who is John Stevens?
Yeah.
Be still my beating heart. Hello, John Stevens. Adieu, my red-headed friend. Make your music and enjoy yourself. All right, Garrett, select again.
What SPF do you think John Stevens would need if he was on one of your nude beaches?
I would suggest latex paint. That'll be the only thing that will keep those evil sun's rays from cooking that poor boy.
American Idol for three. Here we go. He was last year's American Idol runner-up.
Who is Clay Aiken?
There you go.
Two in a row, fantastic talent. You know, he's got a Christmas album coming out. I'll be the first in line at my local record store in Los Angeles to buy an Aiken Christmas. It's an Aiken Christmas. Jamil always has an Aiken Christmas. All right, Garrett.
Garrett, go again, please.
Spelling Bee for one.
Spelling Bee. All right, just spell the word, please. The word is vehicle.
What is V-E-H-I-C-L-E?
Well, now.
Bravo, young Garrett. Bravo, young Garrett. Paying attention in school has certainly paid off for you.
Look at that.
That's wonderful. I enjoy the spelling. Spelling is such an important part of our society. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you, young Garrett.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Go again, Garrett.
Spelling Bee for two.
Hurricane.
What is H-U-R-R-I-C-A-N-E?
Yeah. Hurricane, right.
$2 for young Garrett, and I must say, I know you did this feature in shows past, and it was always just a little more spicy, wasn't it? I remember those fabulous body parts.
There used to be some body parts.
Uh-huh. So it was delightful. And Garrett, you're still in control.
Spelling Bee for three.
Spelling Bee for three. Celebration.
What is C-E-L-E-B-R-A-T-I-O-N?
Yeah, see? They got it.
Good job.
Celebration, vehicle, hurricane.
Garrett, get you to a headmaster's position. All right, select again, Garrett.
Let's go with Old School, Who Made That Car?
The Pinto.
to what is Ford.
There you go.
Garrett is on quite a winning streak right now. He's got the hot hand, if you will.
For two?
For two. The Firebird.
Oh. What is Pontiac?
Todd, your chance to steal.
What is Chevrolet?
No, he had it. The buzzer got him. It was a Firebird.
Oh,
a Pontiac.
Todd, that was in your grasp, but you weren't paying attention.
Camaro is the Chevy, and Firebird's the Pontiac.
Are you overwhelmed with the pressure of the competition, Todd?
A little bit.
Well, we'll kick it over to young Garrett, who seems to be lashing you rather mightily. Select again, Garrett.
Who made that car for three?
The Thing.
The what?
Todd, here's an opportunity. Now think Thing and think car manufacturers.
Who is Oldsmobile?
Yes, of course, the fabulous Oldsmobile Thing. There's no such thing.
The folks were like, hey, he just made a joke.
Yes.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as an Oldsmobile Thing. It was made by the Volkswagen.
Right.
Yes. Volkswagen in Germany. All right, Garrett, you're in control.
Best-selling DVD for one.
All right, this is a new category now. Rather than the new ones, these are the ones that are selling the best across America. These are not DVDs people are renting. These are the ones that they're buying.
Buying right at the store.
Yes, number one bestseller this week in America, movie starring Russell Crowe.
What is Masters of...
All right, Todd, here's your opportunity to steal.
What is Master and Commander?
Bravo, Todd, bravo, you won! You've succeeded, you'll be going to the final round. All right, Todd, I'm listening, select again.
DVD for two, please.
Movie starring Eddie Murphy.
What is...
Todd.
You got to be faster, my friend.
Just bring that brain out of the freezer and let it thaw. Garrett, your chance to steal.
What is Pluto Nash?
Pluto Nash. You know, hold on. I should give him a dollar just because he knew that. No, it's The Haunted Mansion.
The Haunted Mansion, yes. A Disney film. Fabulous job by Eddie Murphy. Wonderful young comedian. Mm-hmm.
What's he got on you?
We used to visit several different areas of West Los Angeles together.
That's what I thought.
All right, Todd, you're in control.
DVD for three, please.
All right, the third best-selling DVD in America, first season of this cable TV show.
What is Sex in the City?
Negative.
Garrett, your chance to steal.
What is The Sopranos?
No.
Guys, Chappelle's Show. Chappelle's Show, season one.
Todd, you're in control.
Van's the name for one, please.
Van's the name.
This is a confusing category. I certainly hope that I can play along.
New horror movie that stars Hugh Jackman.
What is...
Garrett, your chance to steal.
What is Van...
Van Helsing? You're just too slow. You've got to move quicker.
Helsing.
And it's Van Helsing and Todd. You're in control.
For two, please.
Buzz wears their clothes.
Garrett, your chance to steal again.
What is Van Heusen?
Yeah,
$2 for you. Excellent job.
Proudly wears Van Heusen.
I guess we'd call it on this show a good pull, you might say. All right, Garrett, select again.
Van's the name for three.
Two TV brothers share this last name.
Todd, your chance to steal.
One of them's awful.
Who is Van Dyke?
Too late now.
Too late, unfortunately.
I said it.
No, but only after I gave you the...
Is that the end of the first round?
Yes, that's it. That's the end of the first round.
They eked it out a little slow. I guess Joe's letting his friends play again. Thank you, Don. I'm listening.
And who's got what?
Garrett finishes with $15, and Todd over here has $1. But he will be going to the final round. No one's a loser on Low Budget Jeopardy.
Well, sometimes they are.
Of course they are.
Here you go, guys. We physically force you both to bet it all, and good luck on this one. The category is Name That Tune, and don't forget, answer in the form of a question, and make sure during the 30 seconds you tell Joe, because that's how you pretend that you're writing it down. You got it, guys?
Got it.
It's the name of the theme song to the TV show Frasier. It's the name of the theme song to the TV show Frasier.
And I thank you.
Don't forget to answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a book of verse from me, Kelsey Grammer. Yes, these are the poems that have been my source of strength during my times of turmoil.
P.U.
If we could bring the music down ever so slightly, I would like to share one with you out of my book.
Okay.
Like this one I wrote to my former friend, Joseph Hardinger, during my partying days. It goes as follows. Greetings, friends. It's party time. I hope you enjoy my little rhyme. Roll a fatty, drop a farm. It will not cause you any harm. And when Friday comes, we all will cheer. The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Oh.
Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy. With
that's
the
fantastic.
Spectrum.
You know, I got one for you.
Please share that with me.
Tell me if you've heard this one before.
Very good. I'm waiting.
Milk.
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 Yes.
Lemonade.
Around the corner, fudge is made.
Yes. Oh, yes, Niles, and I always love that one. And then we really do it. Let's see, you want to go to Garrett first, right?
Yes, Garrett Sexton from Wichita, Kansas.
Garrett, it's the name of the theme song to the TV show Frasier.
I said, what is bacon and eggs?
So close, but yet so far.
Negative, Todd. Todd from Portland, Maine on WZAN. If you have the right answer, you are the winner.
What is tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
Yeah.
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs. Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo, young Todd. Bravo. It's an upset victory.
Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Well, we'll give it
tossed
to you.
Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
And you know, do you, when you sang that song, did you know about tossing salad?
Oh, yes. I based the song solely on my experience in the California penal system.
Sure. Listen, that means, Todd, you're the big wiener. See, I told you everybody's a loser. Whether somebody's a loser. Garrett, you're a big fat loser. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Here's Kelsey Grammer to tell you what you won, guys.
Todd Daly of Portland, Maine. Are you ready for your windfall?
I think so.
We double your score to $2. And then we throw in a $25 bonus for a total of $27. And that is your total, Todd. Congratulations. And Garrett.
Yes.
Are you paying attention?
Yes, I am.
A crushing defeat, but you've got some parting gifts. Are you ready for your consolation prizes?
Yeah.
You've won a $500 gift certificate. Yes, gift checks from American Express, courtesy of Fox's That 70s Show. Tune into That 70s Show on Fox Wednesday, May 19th, for the one-hour season finale of That 70s Show. But
wait, funny show still on the air. There's more.
You've won a WWE SmackDown Judgment Day prize pack.
Right.
Featuring The Undertaker in Washington, D.C. Watch WWE SmackDown. Get it on UPN 20 starting at 8 p.m. SmackDown. Ooh. Yes, I'll be watching and listening.
Garrett, Todd, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
And what can I say? Kelsey.
Yes, it is time for me to go gently into that good night.
You're pompous. You're pretentious.
It is so nice to be with you. Thank you for your kind words and the tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Will you finally leave? I mean, is this that you've been playing the same dopey character for 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to make a special announcement for all of your listeners that are listening right now.
All right.
I will never leave. I will be Frasier until I'm 80.
Thoughts.
Bravo! I will be Frasier until I die.
Always remember and never forget. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Poron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. And I'll toss a salad for you anytime you'd like me to. I need a roll of paper towels for Camille.
Oh, get out of here.
Take care. Check me out.
There he is. Very pretentious he is with his poetry.
Yeah. Tennyson.
And that's the guy that he was reading last night on the show. Thank God I didn't watch that show last night.
It was an interesting project.
But Buzz, it killed in the ratings.
Yeah, it did. Won the night, as a matter of fact.
What's wrong with people?
Well, it was a special event.
I mean, the only thing I got from watching that show last night was, how did it stay on as long as it did?
Really? I mean, I think the show's not that funny.
Yeah. It's for smart people, Mike. That's why we didn't get it again.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz, me.
He made it up.
I just remember what I always say, one man's Frasier, another man's George Lopez show.
Uh-huh.
Now that's funny. Now that's a show that I can understand. Buzz, what's your lead tonight?
Today, a protest march, not against the war, but against the Nielsen ratings.
Oh, really? Who's that? That could be led by George Lopez as well.
Kelsey Grammer.
But listen, hold on before we do the thing. Stay tuned. Call now and dial recklessly, you animals. 877-365-3636. Caller 100 when we get back. Buzz starts the news.
Mm-hmm.
One question about something that happened on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Something that happened early in the show 3 hours ago.
All right.
So only call if you've listened to the whole goddamn show and you got the answer. You're going to Toronto for the WWE SummerSlam right now. Caller number 100.
one chance to win.
Only if you listen to the whole show.
Thank you, Buzz. Would you say that again, please?
Only if you have listened to the entire show.
But the question will be about something that was said in the first half hour of the show.
Very good.
Buzz, again, we want someone who...
only has listened to the entire show.
Thank you.
Stay tuned news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Kelsey, that was very...
It was also professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Cressa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Come tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Mike. Where the hell did you dig this up from?
From the fun bag.
The fun bag.
Hi, Jim Elliott with you.
Hey, this is one of my favorite funny songs. It's kind of risque.
Yeah.
The Telephone Man.
Thursday at 4, he came knocking at my door singing, "Hey, baby, I'm your telephone man."
Wow.
I can't do that to you guys.
Did it.
No, I know I did, but...
The Don and Mike Show.
I'll make up for it now.
Words are hard for them.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Correct. Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Smoke Break. News and comments sponsored by Smoke Break. Smokers, break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Yeah. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers.
Oh, dear.
Available at fine retailers. Also, let me mention Attention Parade Lovers. Please join radio's most talented mimic, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Gordon.
And his beautiful daughters. That part's true.
Mm-hmm.
So's the other part.
Right.
At the Noakesville Day Parade. Followed immediately by the Noakesville Idol Contest.
Yeah.
Cherry Gig.
Hey, you know what it is. Cherry Gig 2 years in a row.
Starts tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Michael, see you there.
Yes. Please come out.
Like the king of Noakesville.
Yeah, I love that town.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's parade time.
Yes, sir. Nice to see each and every one of you.
Time for a call 100 right now. Before we get to Buzz, let's see if we give away this trip to SummerSlam. WWE SummerSlam in Toronto on August 15th. This is a one-time question for a one-time caller number 100.
Right.
Who has Buzz? Mm-hmm. Who has what? What have they got?
Listen to the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Buzz. And here we go. Hello, Don and Mike, please turn down your radio.
Okay.
Turn down your radio. What is your name?
Andy.
Hey, Andy, where are you calling from?
The Bay Area.
All right, Andy, here you go.
All right.
Have you listened to the whole show today?
Yes.
Where is Joe Ardinger going this weekend for his segment JOMOs?
Oh, gosh, I know it's a racetrack in Baltimore, but...
No, it is not a racetrack in Baltimore.
Very, very close.
Don and Mike, turn down your radio. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, who's this?
This is Derek.
Where are you from, Derek?
I am from Sacramento, California.
Right on, KHTK. Do the Kings play tonight?
Yes, they do.
Yep, game 17.
Yeah, game 19, Mike.
That's right. I'm sorry, I missed the last two.
Easy to lose track.
Where's Joe going this weekend for JOMOs?
Daytona? No, not Daytona, I'm sorry.
Have fun at your game. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Turn down your radio. Hello.
Hello.
Rob, who is your joy? Who is this?
This is Jeff Wilson.
Jeff, where are you from?
Baltimore.
Jeff, where is Joe going this weekend for JOMOs?
To the Nextel race in Richmond.
There it is!
Good. This guy got it.
That's right.
Winner!
To the NASCAR Nextel race in Richmond, Virginia.
That's right.
You'll hear the tape on Monday's show, and you, my friend, in Baltimore, congratulations. You have won the WWE SmackDown prize pack, which includes a trip to Canada, to Toronto, for WWE
Woo-hoo!
SummerSlam,
yeah!
August 15th, and your trip is courtesy of UPN.
Excellent.
Thank you, my friend. What, Robbie?
While he's up there, make sure he reports back anything suspicious.
Yeah, Rob thinks they're going to attack. Huh?
Right. And anyway, thanks to UBN, and thank you, my friend. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for listening.
It's a great time of the year to go up there.
Sure.
That right. Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. You know, I expected to see protest marches on the news programs, but I never expected this. The Nielsen TV ratings company is working on replacing the old-fashioned and unreliable viewing diaries with what are known as people meters, electronic devices that show who's watching what and when. The Fox Network hates this plan. It's afraid the change will hurt its ratings in big cities because it says Nielsen won't put those boxes in enough minority households. A Fox executive reportedly told a Nielsen executive,
"Oh, Lord, I don't want no box in my house, but I do watch all of the fine program on the Fox Network." Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there. Oh, I am a minority.
A Fox executive.
Hello there. I am a minority, too. How are you? Oh, and I am a minority, and I love the swan on Fox, but don't put that box in my house.
Don Geronimo is the Fox listeners.
A Fox
viewers.
A Fox executive reportedly told a Nielsen executive, "We'll destroy you." Then, suddenly, black and Hispanic leaders in New York and L.A. began to join in. Some have accused Fox of stirring the pot. The new system scheduled to start in July in L.A. and June 3rd in New York. After asking behind the scenes for a delay in the people meter startup, the Reverend Al Sharpton will lead a march on Nielsen's Manhattan offices on Monday. And now...
Weird Al Sharpton.
Now there's more. All of Congress is investigating, not Fox, but the new people meter system. They'll examine the questions, does it discriminate, and... will it give us accurate TV ratings?
Well, now, I don't understand. I mean, they're saying it discriminates. Why? Because they're not going to put these boxes in minority households?
No,
or what?
The fear is, and in earlier tests, they apparently didn't put enough boxes in minority households to give a representative sample of the total viewing public.
And the problem there, Buzz, is I don't follow because you get the upper crust viewer.
Nielsen says it's fixed this by putting out more people meter boxes, but the Fox Network and minority groups say they're still not getting into the right homes.
You know, they won't let us talk about how they get radio ratings.
Right.
If you talk about how the radio ratings, the Arbitron ones are done,
right.
They throw you out of the ratings mm-hmm. book. You're not allowed to talk about it. For years, they've talked about a people meter, which would be, to me, it seems to be the fairest way.
Mm-hmm.
You have these things along the side of the road, and when you drive by, mm-hmm. it just goes beep, beep. You're listening to whatever the station is. You get a real rating
right.
of who really is. I can't tell you how backwards our rating system is.
It would be so much fun to have that. It would be exciting, because, I mean, it really would be an accurate gauge. And the people meters that they're putting for the Nielsens are right. what? Do they work the same way?
Yes. It's an electronic box, actually, that goes into the home, and it detects if you have more than one television, for example. It tells the Nielsen company, you tell them in advance, okay, well, this TV is for our kids, and this one's for us. So then Nielsen is able to tell what age groups and sexes are watching what shows at what times.
All right.
Now, that's how it works.
I wouldn't mind
if it happens.
I wouldn't mind a little big brother in that regard, but mm-hmm. the problem is it does get to be a little bit too big brother, even with the screwed up radio rating system.
Yeah, because they'll put something in there where they can tell what you're cooking for dinner.
Right?
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah, right.
It's coming.
Right,
it's coming.
So, you know, oh, well, I understand that you liked American Idol. The whole family was watching, and you had hot dogs and beans.
And why weren't you wearing pants? To Portland, speaking of radio.
Which reminds me.
Yes?
Hold on, I got to mention this, Buzz.
Huh?
I am watching Channel 7
uh-huh.
here in Washington.
Okay.
The ABC affiliate here in D.C.
It's a good station.
And they've got a jumbotron that they're putting in front of their TV station.
Oh, okay.
A big,
right.
gigantic thing like
they
that.
They have a prominent building in the city.
Like they have in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching, I remember the names of the anchor people. Doug McElway, mm-hmm. who's a real trouser snake. And the girl's last name is Starling. Melissa Starling. Oh. What's her name? Allison Starling?
Walt's daughter.
Cute. Oh. She's really cute.
Oh. Is it really Walt's daughter?
Yeah.
Right. She's cute as a button. Oh. And she just had like a little birthmark on her nose or something. Other than that, she's perfect.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this was actually set on Channel 7. I think it was yesterday. They're doing the outside shot with the weather guy, and he's standing in front of the big jumbotron, and they come back inside. They're doing that awkward chatter. And the news lady says, who's just cute as can be, she says, "Well, Brian, the weather guy, if it's up and working tomorrow, then when people are driving by, will the bags under our eyes be as big as they are in real life, or will they be even bigger?" She's trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doug McElway, and this is an exact quote, says, "Well, I know someone I'd like to see up on that big jumbotron, and of the three of us, she's the one who's not wearing pants right now." And there is absolutely no comment made by her
Right.
No comment. They just go to commercial.
Is there a look of panic? Or
no,
what?
Because as the guy said it, they were going to the shot of...
And he was like making like a girl reference, but it sounded bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, saying that she's wearing a skirt.
And, or I didn't know if maybe she's like one of those...
Doug McKelway? It probably... But see, it came out that way when I heard it the first time. Then I thought about it. That's probably what Doug McKelway was saying. He was just trying... Or do you think he was like saying, you know, she has no bottoms?
Well, or maybe she was like... don't you remember Warner Wolf all the time?
It was Brenner.
It was Glenn Brenner. You're right.
Yep.
He used to show up at Channel 9, the late Glenn Brenner. He would sit there and do the sports, and really...
He'd wear tennis shorts.
Not for a goof. He would not wear pants. Who's to say that this girl on Channel 7 doesn't do the same thing?
It's apparently common. I interned at a TV station, and a lot of times in the summer, the anchors, the people who sat behind the big desk, would have on the coat and the tie and the shirt, and then just, like, you know, cut off jean shorts.
So they're, like, just having their right. happy chatter, and then Doug McKelway just says, I know one of the three people that I'd like to see on that screen, and she's not wearing pants right now. Huh. Hey, what's up with these gas prices?
Jesus. But whatever it was, you know, however it was, local TV, they can't handle that.
No, they can't. They cannot.
Well, back to radio. A couple of Portland, Oregon DJs have been fired after playing the beheading tape on their morning show and laughing at it. The radio station has apologized. And they have fired the Marconi and Tiny show.
I'm Marconi.
I'm Tiny.
But several radio stations around the country and a cable news channel have aired uncut versions of the audio without the laughing, of course. Quoting the general manager at KQRS in Minneapolis, our response has been 4-1 favorable for playing the tape.
Well, see, the thing is,
well, playing the tape is one thing.
Right.
They're
laughing at it. Yeah, right.
There are news shows, and even like that dope Sean Hannity played the entire thing on his show.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, these guys played the same tape.
And
you can hear them in the background. And this is where, you know, I don't think we're in that shock jock thing anymore. We're too old to be shock jocks. Mm-hmm. And the show we're doing now isn't shock radio.
Right.
But this is what gives that entire shock radio thing a bad name, is that these guys did something that was just freaking stupid.
And they did it for that reason. I mean, just for the pure shock value of it.
Right.
But you know, really, in fairness to those guys, stupid, yes. But you know, would you not agree to this? They did that just to get noticed. They thought, hey, we're going to get noticed
if we do.
I mean, really, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were, first of all, stupid, yes,
right.
and idiots. But I will give them the benefit of the doubt that these guys aren't a couple of guys that legitimately, if they ever watched that tape, like any human being would think it was funny. But they did it because, hey, man, if we laugh at this, we'll be crazy shock guys. Hey, we'll be so tough guy. You know?
Do you think they had the horn and everything?
The morning zoo horn and that sort of thing?
Idiots.
There was a lot of laughing.
And they got fired. C'est la vie.
Hey, look at that guy got his head cut off.
That's basically what they did.
What morons.
Hey, listen, Beatles break coming up.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one to defend.
I'm Johnny Java. Good morning.
Marconi and Tiny, Don.
I'm Marconi.
I'm Tiny.
What we're fired?
The Al-Qaeda website that first posted the video was shut down yesterday by the Malaysian company that posted it in the first place. The company says its system got overloaded by the millions of attempts to download the video.
And, Mike, you know, you mentioned to me you had seen it. I couldn't bring myself to see it.
You know what? I tell you, I watched that thing, and Joe gave me the name of the website that they had it on. I'm not going to mention it here, but the thing is, it was...
It's WJFK.com.
Yeah, right. It was, you know what? I mean, it was a website where they have all this crap on there.
Right.
I mean, they have, it was... I mean, if you want to think for just a second, if you're close to the gates of hell, you know, that's what I felt like while watching it. Because it had, it was kind of a porn site, and then they had this too, and it was just, I mean, God, I don't know.
Well,
For some sickos,
that, you know, that's a winning combination.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, really, if you want to, if there is that Antichrist that's close by, I felt at that moment.
Joe,
I felt for really, that at that moment, I said, man, this is as evil can possibly be.
Right.
The whole thing, not only what they did, but the fact that I'm looking at this.
You know why I didn't look at it, though?
It was in my head. It's been in my head since.
Because I was afraid. I always get on Mike when Mike says, I don't know where on the internet because I'm afraid they're going to find out like where I live in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go to a website that I thought had a link to Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see like a month from now, somebody knocking on my door and going, hey, dude,
when you were on AOL the other day, how come you're checking out so much time on Al-Qaeda websites?
Right.
So even
if
it was a link, that's why I didn't go. I mean, I'm sure I would have been repulsed by it, and I didn't really want to see it.
No,
but
I don't want to see
it. I also don't want my my computer fingerprints on an Al-Qaeda site.
It's, you know, I will tell you this. You know, it's it, like so much stuff like that. People watch this. They want to see something like this. Did this really happen? Did this go down? Is this the way it looked? And then I think if you're a normal human being, good luck trying to get that out of your system.
It
does. It takes a good long time.
I would think so.
I think I'm past it now. But I mean, it was a long time to shake. And this is weird. I'll just mention this in passing. I've seen pictures of or guy. He had a look to him that was kind of like one of these. You know, the we got a million guys that look like that walk around this radio station. And you know, I don't want to say it's like completely overwhelming, but I see this guy now. It seems like everybody looks like the guy.
Mm.
And it just stays in your head.
You don't need
and
that.
So, I mean, that would be just a warning if you're going to look at something like this. I can't tell anybody what to look at and what not to, but that's the kind of thing, when you see something like that, it stays with you and doesn't stay with you in a real good way.
So think twice.
You know, I mean, yeah.
And if you also want nightmares, go to ScottShannon.com.
Different really, kind of nightmare.
You want to get up in the middle of the night and you realize, oh, screaming. My God, there's blood, there's all kinds of different things that have come out of my body. Go to ScottShannon.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
The father of the man who was beheaded says his son died for the sins of President Bush and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Michael Berg says 26-year-old Nick saw the best in everyone, probably even his captors. Quoting Michael, they did not know what they were doing. They killed their best friend.
And, you know, we discussed this earlier today, but it got to mention again. Very, not ironic.
I've got some of that.
Ain't it a coincidence that as soon as this thing gets out, then all of a sudden there's the talk. Oh, maybe the guy that got his head cut off was somehow involved with Al Qaeda.
This guy, incidentally, I mean, and we should mention this. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but he's what was called by the engineer
a tower climber.
Mm-hmm. One of those you know, who is, you know, the guys you've known guys like this for all the radio stations you've worked at. I did when I programmed a couple of radio stations. These are you know, risk taking kind of guys.
Right.
I mean, they're
right.
The guys that go up and really they work on the at the very top.
Right,
they're very brave in their own way.
He's going over there to help the Iraqis get the communications going again.
Mm-hmm. The president, by the way, has not called.
Am I the only one that thinks I don't care if the Iraqis have TV and radio or not?
I don't think you're...
I mean, I don't think it's worth a guy getting his head cut off for them to get HBO.
In some ways, in some parts, in some areas, they're going to end up with a better infrastructure than we have in parts of this country.
Yeah, I mean, if they can. I mean, yeah, if it can happen with what's going on
over
there.
The mission continues.
Now, listen, I know that, you know what, on June 30th, when we turn over whatever this puppet government
June 26th, right?
Are we turning it over to one of the guys that before was bad, but now we think is okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are we or not?
The guy, I think, the story I wrote was Fallujah. We turned the policing efforts over to one of the guys that was a general in the Ba'ath Party, which was Saddam Hussein's party there. You know, the other thing that I was reading about, the other side of the coin, what I don't understand is, yeah, we're over there. In order to stabilize the country, if we could end this thing quicker, we bring more troops over there. We have an overwhelming show of force to stabilize the country, and then we get out. What I don't understand is why generals are getting in the doghouse for saying, oh, yeah, we need more troops. We need to, and they're afraid to come out and speak. I'm not sure. Is that because I have no idea why that's happening in this administration? Why they, you know, these are the guys that brought us over there, and then these generals say we desperately need more people over here to at least make an attempt to get this thing fixed. And
why don't we just declare victory and leave? What's wrong with that? I mean, isn't that kind of what we ended up doing in Vietnam anyway?
We declared victory a year ago. We just didn't leave.
I think either you go over there, if you're going to do it, you do it the right way. And if these generals are saying to do this the right way and to finish this thing and to really stabilize this country and prevent U.S. GIs from getting killed every day, we need to get these troops. Either do that or get out. But don't do it in this the way that it's being done because more people are dying. It's nuts.
Am I a bad American for thinking I don't give a crap about the Iraqis? I don't give a crap if they have running water, and I don't give a crap if they have electricity or not. There's a lot of people, not just in Iraq, go anywhere in the world. People have bad stuff happening to them everywhere.
It gets back to why were we sent over there? The way I was told by my leaders in this country was we went over there because they were an imminent threat to the United States because they had weapons, nuclear weapons and chemical weapons that were a threat to us. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why are we still doing it?
Good question. Because he wants to win the election.
Yeah, well, some might say he's not going about it the best way.
No,
yeah.
We'll have more on that in a second. Now, President Bush has not called the Nick Berg family with condolences. And then there's this
controversy. Of course not, Buzz. You know why? Because that would be a stand-up thing to do. That would be the stand-up thing to do to say, hey, again, like before, I'm the guy in charge no matter what happened. I'm very sorry for your loss.
Well, didn't the quote that I heard from the presidential press office was, well, he has expressed his condolences publicly.
Through the press office.
That's just like when he was up there with the King of Jordan. He said, I told him how sorry I am. You know that's
BS.
You know,
so get to the bottom of this thing, this veiled reference that this guy might have had some ties to these Al-Qaeda guys.
You're just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have guys that...
It's more diversion stuff.
We have engineers that come into this building that knew this guy.
Right.
And, you know, one of the guys I saw on Fox News, I don't know the name of the engineer. He's not our engineer. He, I think, is the HFS engineer. Right, Rob?
Yes, his name is Johnny Abdullah.
It's Jeff Lockridge. He's a great guy, and he's the group engineer. He's
and Jeff was
engineer.
Talking about him. I mean, if anybody knew about this guy, Jeff would know
you
about
can't,
him.
You can't miss him. He's wearing his turban always.
Well, there's not.
He was on his flying carpet coming into work the other day.
Carpet.
He was.
These controversies you've alluded to, the U.S. government says it never held Nick against his will. Now, the father says, I have a written statement from the State Department saying my son was being held by the military. I can also assure you the FBI came to my house March 31st and told me the FBI had him in an Iraqi prison. And there's Nick's computer password in college that somehow wound up in the hands of an Al-Qaeda terrorist.
This is the thing that they're trying to nail him on.
An FBI report calls this a coincidence.
There is a lot of stuff with this guy.
Yeah, a lot of layers.
You know, come on. In fairness to his family, get to the bottom of this. Let us know what's going on.
Hey, Bush, come on. Be a stand-up guy. Call the guy. Call the guy and say, hey, I'm sorry your son is dead.
You know what, though? I mean, I'm thinking about this right now and how absurd this is right now. If the guy had ties to Al-Qaeda in any way, shape, or form, what we saw on that videotape is not going to happen. I mean, I would think.
Of course,
that.
That's a spin put out by this administration. And again, Kerry, Jesus, how are you going to win if you don't jump in there and say something, dude? And then I got to read today that Nader, who endorsed Nader now? Is it the Green? He's the Green Party again?
I didn't catch that.
You know what that is? That's 5% of the vote.
Yeah, it was 5% in most polls.
That's 5% right there that's going right out of Kerry's pocket. Jesus H. Christ. I swear to God. Buzz?
Yes.
We got a break.
I know.
What's next?
Coming up, the dramatic reaction to the Vatican's view on this abuse.
Hello.
Hmm. Did you see that game last night?
Hey.
Oh, Kobe. Kobe.
His Holiness a big Laker fan. Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's happening?
Loves the game.
Round ball.
Yes.
On the hardboard courts of the NBA.
Top of the key, Your Holiness.
Oh, Jesus, my arm just fell off.
Part of God game.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Kendricks. Kids, it was a song before it was a commercial. Right on. Or anything that rhymes with that.
Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Yeah. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Buzz. It's Buzz.
Oh, man.
It's news.
He's got an afro.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Buzz. You gonna play the lottery? I hope you win, Buzz.
Thanks, Don.
Scratch. Scratch, scratch. Scratch off, Buzz. Scratch off.
Man, this is the right kind of song for this time of year.
Yeah. But the thing is, can't find a goddamn radio station that plays that record.
No. What's up with that?
But it's good enough to be in a commercial for cars that you see on TV every 10 minutes.
Which would mean it tests well.
Hi, Donna Mike.
I'm out.
This week, an archbishop speaking for the Vatican said the prisoner abuse scandal is worse for America than the 9/11 attacks. To quote a Catholic New York lawmaker, if there's anyone in the world who has no right to speak on sexual abuse, it's the Vatican, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
The lawmaker calls the statement the height of hypocrisy. Whatever the U.S. has done to prisoners in Iraq, he says, is nothing compared to what priests did to kids for decades.
I'm Archbishop.
While the Catholic hierarchy covered it up, end quote.
Hey, dude.
Hey, here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, His Holiness Pope John Paul. How are you?
I have spoken for someone
I have spoken. As you know, I'm frail. My arm has just fallen off.
You're not looking well. You sound fine, but you're not looking well.
I have chosen someone to speak for me on this topic.
Who will be speaking for you, Your
Please
Holiness?
Listen to the tape. Supported by the Vatican. Thank you. And God bless.
You real good.
O'Mara's in Manassas, Virginia.
Thank you so much for the plug. Hey,
look around, Cafe.
Especially on a Friday. Right. I can't thank you enough, Your Holiness.
Now my statement about the war prisoners in Iraq. Please listen to the Vatican spokesman.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko.
Thank you.
Yeah, good spokesperson.
Speaking Have a great Pope. Weekend. Let's go, Kings!
Yeah!
Still rooting.
Ground ball. The head of the Catholic League agrees with the criticism you heard, and he says the Archbishop's remarks show an anti-American sentiment in the Vatican. Quoting him, this man is an absolute embarrassment to the Church.
If I could say one more thing.
Yes, Your Holiness.
This is the Pope.
There it is again. Yeah!
Just a man.
Flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone. I am PVD.
What's that?
Really? Pope VD.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Well, we'll wait for the book to come out.
And hold on, that would get out of this. Let me give you somebody else here.
Congratulations, this is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine.
Hey, there we go.
Nice.
It all ties together. Okay, back to Buzz now.
To quote Rumsfeld, as we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. End quote.
That's like Clinton saying, you have to tell me what it is.
Now, you know, for quite some long time.
All you knew was what I told you.
That was Reagan. To a San Francisco musician, though, this Rumsfeld quote is sheer poetry. He, so, has set Rummy's words to classical music. So now, the quote you just heard is sung by an opera soprano. The musician says he's no fan of the Bush administration.
Opera soprano? Who is that?
Quoting
Oh, for you.
I watch the show all the time.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
That's Uncle Junior soprano. That was Mom soprano. Who's this guy?
I think he went away for a long time.
Quoting this musician, we show in the songs we believe Rumsfeld is telling a story that doesn't hold up. Last year, a humor writer put together a haiku book with similar inspiration. It was called Pieces of Intelligence. The existential poetry of Donald H. Rumsfeld.
And that used to be my radio name for a while. Hey, it's Haiku with you.
Haiku.
I like that.
And a lot of times just Ku. My name's Ku.
For short.
But just say Haiku if you see me down the street.
Ku in the morning.
Americans' approval of President Bush has sunk to the lowest point in his administration. In fact, the numbers are lower than they've been for any president who ever got reelected.
Yeah!
The race between Bush and Kerry is still a statistical tie, but the approval ratings, or disapproval if you prefer, seem to tell a different story. Bush gets low marks on Iraq and the economy. His overall approval number is 44%. 48% disapprove. The presidents who got reelected had approval ratings in the 50s. Bush's dad and Jimmy Carter were, like W, in the 40s. He's at 44. As they said, the election is now 6 months away.
And that's why that 5% nadir, it's really, really important.
And
really
I look important. At it, man, I tell you, I look at it just like a football game or a baseball game, you know, or a golf tournament on Thursday. You know, there's a lot of golf to play yet.
Right.
I mean, really,
true.
Who knows what will happen.
Yeah, it's 6 months, a long time. Fathers, don't let your daughters grow up to be interns for New York lawmakers. That's the surprisingly candid advice of a district attorney in Albany, where that state's lawmakers work. Quoting the DA, I'm not going to call the place a cesspool, but hey, there's a group of legislators who quite honestly are here to get $80,000 a year and party three nights a week. The flow of young women in and out of the legislature is an opportunity for them.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Any father who would let his daughter be an intern in the state legislature should have his head examined.
Wow.
Last year, this same DA brought rape charges against the Assembly Speaker's chief counsel, who then resigned in disgrace.
Very nice.
Now, another assemblyman's been accused of taking a 19-year-old to a hotel room, plying her with drinks, and raping her.
Politicians behaving badly?
Hard
to believe.
Even when I watch Law and Order a million times a week with my wife, because we're mental about it, I still laugh when they say DA, because I still think dumbass.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where is the DA?
Sounds like maybe that's more of an appropriate name for that guy.
Where's the DA? Where's the dumbass?
DA.
In sports, Jay Leno may have a bigger car collection, but David Letterman has his own IndyCar team now in a partnership with legendary racer Bobby Rahal. Dave's been an investor since 1996.
That's good, Dave. Keep Dave at a show at 4 o'clock in the morning with a rat on. Keep getting your ass kicked by Jay Leno. But congratulations on buying that Indy car. And incidentally, nobody likes Indy cars. We like NASCAR.
Dave likes them, and frankly, this probably makes him happier than his TV show does.
Hey, it's me, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
I've been doing some early Christmas shopping.
Great.
And I came across a gift that would be perfect for the people who listen to your show.
What's that?
Earplugs.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, man.
You know, those tapes, they are everything.
You know, sometimes I'm just so funny, I crack myself up.
Me too. Just give me one more second with this. How long till this thing cues up?
I think just a second.
You think? Here we go. Let's listen. Here we can
hear it. You hear the tape right now. That's,
that hissing sound.
That's the 8-track.
Air cue.
We're just waiting for it.
Some stations are digital. We are not.
Let's listen.
Well, we're not broken.
Is it re-cueing? We have to wait because we use old things.
5 seconds.
Another 5 seconds, you say?
3, 2, 1, 0.
You're a loser, Robbie.
Still going.
I mean, you're a winner in life.
Well, I wouldn't even say that.
Here we go. Okay.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave.
Okay.
And finally,
hey, incidentally, Koo and the gang.
Yeah, Koo, like Haiku.
Haiku, never Haiku. Mind.
Finally, the people of Western Japan have a coarser sense of humor. They're earthier than other Japanese and most other civilized adults. The people of Western Japan are big consumers of a candy called deer droppings.
Candy!
But now, priests at one of Japan's most famous temples are trying to stop the sale of a new candy called Snot from the Nose of the Great Buddha. The package features a picture of Buddha digging for gold.
Hey, like Kelsey Grammer.
But even the people of Western Japan say it doesn't sound that appetizing to them. Apparently, the candy is mostly purchased by tourists from other countries.
Candy.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Yeah, no.
That's it. We got to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. We'll be back with a new episode on Monday. Good day to you, sir.
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 You, my friend.
This you should not do.
I will call you the moment I'm drunk.
Thank you.
801.
Call your mom. Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.